about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right. Ready? Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm. Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hey, it's Friday. Wait, I'm Rodney. You're Friday. Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback. Well, that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
Ryan Seacrest bitten by a shark. How vicious was the attack?
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
Some of the stuff they talk about don't interest me, and I don't want to hear it.
Let's go to Mike in Lenox. This sounds very funny. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, morning?
Yeah!
Been a while. Been a while.
Yeah!
Well played, my friend. Well played.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What?
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll.
And now,
what do you like about pot? What does it do for you when you smoke?
It just, the simplest explanation I can give is it just makes everything more fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it just makes makes my brain work differently. You know,
our feature presentation.
Yeah, it makes your answer slower too. Unfortunately.
He explained it to me, though. Now I want to get some. What do you like about pot? What is it? Why do you like that?
Strange question.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday the 8th of May I See Them.
Big ones.
We're going to take your calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It won't surprise anybody that the first call is already on the line, and he's calling about your friend Manny Ramirez, Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dodger.
Dodgers. Although they blew their home winning streak last night without Manny, they did bring the hits, though. I mean, they scored 9 runs, for God's sakes. It's not like they just sat around and couldn't get anything done without Manny behind the, you know,
oh, that's good.
Behind the plate.
They scored 9 runs and lost?
Yeah.
To the Nationals.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the worst teams, right?
Playing a little defense.
They were. Like, they might as well be a little league team.
Oh. Well, what's the problem? Was it errors in the field or pitching? Or both?
It was not a well played game, and
well, I know,
yeah, and like you said, pitching. I mean,
if you score 9 runs, you should win 99% of your games.
100%. You're exactly right. Do not give up 11 runs to the Nationals. That's the problem.
Mm. Right, exactly. But what I don't understand, and I know we'll have more on it later, and we're talking to we got an expert next hour. But what I don't understand, Mike, and you're the drug guy, is that you only take this drug. What's it called? What's the initials of this drug?
HCG.
You. predominantly, isn't this drug only ever taken by men after they've come off of steroids?
Yeah, I mean, commonly, that's what it's used when you're not getting a prescription for it, is to help your hormones recover after using.
And it boosts your testosterone levels?
It doesn't actually boost your testosterone levels. That's what artificial testosterone does, steroids themselves. Okay. But what it does is it helps kickstart your gonads to work again and help kind of normalize.
Excuse me.
Dear God.
Sorry. For those of you that just heard that and have no idea what that is, that's how Bean sneezes.
It helps normalize your hormones again after they've been all messed up with steroid use.
So I understand that Manny said that he asked the doctor and the doctor told him that it was okay for him to take, meaning that it makes it sound like the setup is, hey, I didn't realize this was on baseball's banned substance list. Is that possible? Or would he have had to have known that he could not take this drug?
If it is true that he, then it's still his fault, because there are paid trainers for every team in the major leagues.
And all you have to do is ask.
One of their biggest jobs is to make sure that everything that goes in and out of those players' bodies is regulated. And Manny could have at any time come to the Dodgers trainer, who, like I said, mm-hmm. has paid a lot of money to take care of Manny. That's his job.
Right.
And
say,
look, the doctor told me I could take this and it'd be okay. Is this true?
Yeah.
Is part of the problem, perhaps, that he didn't want to go to somebody and say, look, I'm having boner trouble.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for a professional athlete.
For men, typically older than Manny, this is a drug that is prescribed to them.
Really?
But like I said, this is for guys usually 50 plus, if they're having trouble with their own natural testosterone levels. A doctor will prescribe ACG.
Okay.
So I could see where he can kind of have an argument that he thought he was taking this, for justifiable reasons, but... Like I said, if you're getting paid as much
you don't
as
guess.
Manny Ramirez
yeah.
is,
you don't guess.
You don't guess.
And there's a team of people that'll take care of him.
And he did point out, and I think, apparently this didn't make a difference with Major League Baseball's ruling, but he did point out that he's had a number of drug tests over the past few years. I think 15 in 5 years or something like that. And he said he's always come out clean.
Yeah, that's a bummer. The guy just wants a boner.
Oh, really?
And he has to pay $8 million for it and not play 50 games. That seems like an expensive boner.
Wouldn't a Viagra been cheaper?
If that was his main goal, boners, yes. But I think, realistically, I think what happened was he's a 36-year-old guy, am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And he wants to be 26-year-old Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's using in replacement of human growth hormone and other things that he knows are illegal. He's just doing whatever he can to try to...
Oh, so you think this was for baseball... Or just performance enhancing,
not necessarily, just aging prevention. I think this is Manny trying to keep his hormones at the level they were when he was 25.
Well, I do know, as expensive a boner as that is, and again, your calls on this or any topic at 1-800-520-106. It won't take your calls in 30 seconds. I do know that if you're Manny Ramirez and you can have sex with any number of 30,000 hot Latinas in the Dodger Stadium crowd at any given night, it would have really sucked to not be able to have a boner.
Yeah, I would think so, right? Yeah.
I mean, just imagine if you're going, look at her. Oh, too bad. I don't know what to do with that. I mean, that would suck.
Remember the old days when I knew exactly what would happen?
Yeah,
by the way, Manny's
exactly.
$8 million boner is opening Weenie Roast.
Oh, really? Because I hear they're very good. I've never seen them live.
We can talk about that or any other topic that you want to talk about. 1-800-520-1067. Call now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do? What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is you get on the air, you get a prize. And how about today? How about a $50 gift certificate for Journeys? A gift card for you to buy $50 worth of stuff from Journeys. How about it?
All right, let's start with Victor in L.A. Hi, Victor.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good.
Good morning.
Well, first, I want to comment about the Dodgers game. It's disappointing that lost against the Nationals, a team that couldn't even get their jersey name right. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you guys heard about that, that they misprinted the name. They come on.
Kevin, he's referring to a player that was on the two players that were on the field that had the word Nationals spelled wrong on their jersey. I believe the O was missing in the middle.
How does that happen ever?
They hand sew those emblems, those logos onto the uniforms, and I guess somebody just spaced.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
all right, so what do you have to say about Manny, Victor?
It's a great disappointing. It's like, why don't you bring that drug to your official? Say, hey, can I take this drug before I take it? Double check. It's a great disappointing. After what just happened with Barry Bonds, this happened. You know,
right?
Like,
come on, if you're getting big bucks, you should confirm it back to
yourself. Hey, and Alex Rodriguez happened in between, by the way, which was the other super high profile. But why do you think you told our phone screener that you thought it sounded suspicious? What do you mean by that?
Well, Mike explained himself about like, there are officials that say, I would think that the Major Leagues would have officials to confirm you could take this bigger than drug or not. I wasn't sure there was, but Mike just confirmed, spoke about that right now.
Okay. All right, dude. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, this whole thing could have been avoided with just that simple piece of advice from Psycho Mike, which is, I don't know, go ahead and ask.
Yeah, sure seems like it. Let's go to Mike in Huntington Beach. Hi, Mike.
Hey, boys. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning. What'd it do?
What'd it do? Hey, if I just lost $8 million, I would have a real hard time getting a Woody. I'm saying that would be a real costly $8 bucks.
I don't think it was in that order, though. Good. I think the problem with the wood came first, and then the $8 million came afterwards.
But now, every time he thinks about it, instead of thinking about what he's looking at, being careful what I say on the radio,
sure.
He's thinking, I just lost $8 million.
Yeah, he's going to have a crappy start of summer, that's for sure.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's change topics. Let's change sports, at least. Let's go to Jesse in Corona.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Jesse?
What's going on?
I'm just a little upset about Fisher, man. It's kind of whack that he got suspended for game 3 tonight. I think we really need him. You got Rondo over there from the Celtics throwing players into the wall. He doesn't even get ejected. No flagrant 1, flagrant 2. It's just go to the Lakers, man. That's all.
You think the refs just did that because they don't like the Lakers?
Not necessarily. I mean, but
because I've watched a lot of basketball. You rarely see somebody run over a guy like that.
Yeah, you do, but you got to give Fisher props, man. He's like 6 foot. He took Cole out.
Hey, I'm all for it, but I'm just saying when you do something that blatant and it was kind of in front of everybody and it was kind of nothing else was happening, so everybody saw it. I don't know. It seems like you're kind of asking for. Perhaps a little time off.
And then what about Kobe though? I mean, they're going to go give him a flagrant 2 after the.
You kind of sound like a homer who just doesn't think your team should ever be flagged for anything. Is what it sounds like.
No, but our team always gets flagged.
Yeah. Well. I don't know what to tell you about that.
I'd be curious to see statistics on the number of fouls the Lakers get versus other clubs.
Yeah, I don't know. Some teams,
that's what they do. I mean, that's the way they play the game, is they play and get a lot of fouls as a team. That doesn't seem to be the Lakers' rep, though.
I think Derek Fisher was 100% aware that he could probably get suspended for that play and feels like totally worth it. He was ready to send a message right there, and that was his point, and that was why he did it. And so if he got suspended, oh well.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. I was fine with that. I was really fine with it. I like the fact that somebody was going to step up and knock some heads, you know?
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen in the NBA, more knocking of heads. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We have comedian Dave Attell in the studio today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have, speaking of Manny Ramirez, we have our friend Andrew Siciliano talking about that.
Excellent.
We have Adam Carolla in the studio this week in Rage.
Okay.
We have Mr. Skid on the program today, who's going to give us his Mother's Day list of mothers and daughters who've been naked in movies.
All right, I guess.
Sounds wrong initially, but it's going to be wrong then, too. So let's enjoy that. And we have K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta tickets coming up with a game that everyone else thinks you'll love.
Okay.
And I don't think you'll love it as much. Plus the movie beat, because it's Friday. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next.
It's Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday morning. You kind of buried the lead a little bit, Kevin, when you were laying out for the kids what the show's going to be today, because you didn't mention the most exciting radio interview of 2009 in about a half an hour when we talked to the Mrs. Butterworth Company. About their hot new promotion where you guess Mrs. Butterworth's first name.
Oh, Mrs. Butterworth.
I did forget that. You're correct.
Yeah, because don't try to run from that, man. Well, you're committed at this point. We're making that call.
I don't want to tip people off. I want that for myself. So I was hoping we could cancel.
Kevin wants to win the year supply of maple syrup his own right.
Oh, so you didn't want the competition. I understand.
My first name is Oprah. Oprah Butterworth.
Well, we'll find out. That's on the way of the Kevin DeBeat Show right now, 551. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a new morning. What's going on?
Speaking of Oprah, how about her causing riots at Kentucky Fried Chicken's all over America?
What?
Yeah.
Oprah was offering up coupons for free grilled chicken dinners. And all you had to do is download this thing and print it out. Mm-hmm. Well, so many people printed it out, they were mobbing KFCs around the United States. Police had to be called in.
Oh,
Police?
Yes. What do you mean? Give me what? That look like it's crazy. That's how many people were going to KFC.
I went to KFC.
Streets were blocked off.
I went to KFC because I love it. But
managers were locking the doors, panicking, calling 911.
Wow.
They ran out of chicken, right?
A lot of places.
They absolutely closed their doors.
Mine ran out of chicken, and they just had a sign that said, we'll honor your coupons next week, and no one cared. We were just, all right.
Well, you live in a very calm neighborhood, apparently, because some neighborhoods...
I want to move to that neighborhood.
...looked like Sublime should write a song about the events going on at some of the KFCs.
I love the customers that were calling 911 all over America going, I'm here with my coupon, and there's no chicken.
Yep. Wow.
Why don't you talk to the manager?
She say she are the manager.
Remember that call?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. Meanwhile, KFC said if you bring in your coupon, they will mail you something at a later date, like a rain check, that you'll be able to come in and get your free chicken.
Okay. Oprah hasn't had grilled chicken her whole life, has she? I mean, isn't this crazy
she's
that she's
every
trying to
kind
pretend?
Of chicken,
yes, she has.
Don't worry about it. She's had live. She's eaten live chickens. She's had every possible way you can have chicken. She's had it. But I just think in this economic climate, you don't offer anything free to the people, to the masses. Just not a good point.
I'm so fat.
Big trouble yesterday for Daisy De La Hoya. You know Daisy from Rock of Love?
No.
In the soon-to-be-seen Daisy of Love on VH1.
Oh, wow.
She was the runner-up on Rock of Love, so they're giving her own show, The Bachelorette.
Sure.
She was rushed to the emergency room yesterday after paramedics were called to her friend's Hollywood Hills home. Apparently, her friends heard the reality starlet making strange noises and dialed 911. By the time the paramedics showed up, she was yelling, screaming, thrashing around in bed. So badly, it took several people just to get her into the ambulance. Rumors are swirling that she suffered an overdose, and all of her weekend appearances were canceled. Daisy's people are saying she was merely exhausted.
Oh, that's why you thrash around?
That's why you act like you're possessed.
Yeah, that
thrash around like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, and they can't stuff you into the ambulance. It's just because you're tired.
She's not famous enough to use the exhausted defense.
Mm-hmm. No. Poor Megan Fox.
Oh.
In her new interview, she talks about the fact that it's really hard for her to gain weight, Lisa.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Bitch.
Apparently, Michael Bay, the director of the Transformers 2 movie, doesn't like super skinny actresses, so she had to work with someone to try to put on 8 to 10 pounds before they started filming Transformers 2.
The tragedy.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a 22-inch waist.
Yes, she does.
God. I like her less and less.
Oh, you know who else? You know who else has to fatten up?
Who?
According to doctor's orders?
Who?
Michael Jackson.
Really?
Doctors have ordered Michael to put on some weight before he heads back to the stage. Doctors are concerned he's just too frail to tackle the 50 live shows he's got scheduled at London's O2 Arena. They say he doesn't eat enough, and he won't have enough body weight when he expends all that energy up on stage.
You know, the thing is, I can't picture what his body even looks like now. It seems like he's been covered up for so long.
Yeah, he has.
We haven't really seen him.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I think he looks like a Pez dispenser. just rectangular and straight to the ground. And then his head tips back and candy comes out of his throat. That's what I think.
I picture he looks like about a 9-year-old boy. It's the body I'm envisioning.
Maybe that's what he's going for.
Yeah,
he's going for the body of a 9-year-old boy.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Sometime now. Kristen Stewart of Twilight.
Yes.
Says she hates public appearances.
She hates public appearances.
This whole cast, by the way, at Twilight can I'm going to introduce them to my magical eye. Because they all have a lot of attitude.
They do all need to eat a bag,
like
you're
it.
Right.
I agree.
Eat a bag is shorthand.
Robert Pattinson.
Pattinson?
He's like, I don't like the sex symbol thing, and I don't want to be recognized in public. And now Kristen Stewart's saying she can't stand to be out in public in front of appearances. Sometimes she has those appearances in front of 5,000 screaming fans, she says, and she can't understand why everyone is yelling at the top of their lungs. F you! At what point do these people disconnect from the world? You've all seen footage of girls screaming for the Beatles and for the Backstreet Boys. That's what girls do. That's what teenage girls do when they're in a group and they're a bunch of fans of something.
Yeah.
They scream.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that. It's an accepted fact across the board. Don't tell me, I don't understand why they're screaming. Oh, my goodness, I'm in twilight. Oh, kill yourself, murder button, murder button, murder button.
Another thing is, not every person in the world is permanently baked out of their mind like her. So they do have excitement and feelings and emotions.
Yeah, what Mike said.
She's a total full-on hippie, like blazer. So she probably just is like totally overwhelmed by screaming.
Whatever, you don't say, I don't understand why they're screaming.
You understand.
Oh, I'm confused.
Just be grateful. And
yeah,
then
you know why they're screaming, because they're fans of your stupid movie, and they're girls, and that's what they do when they're 12, they scream.
She was probably out there screaming for, you know, New Kids on the Block or NSYNC or whoever her band was back when she was that age, too.
Right.
By the way,
if she hadn't already started smoking pot by then.
Didn't we agree no bell for her?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Was there a bell?
Yes, there was.
Oh.
Fiend.
Sorry.
I'm telling you, we need to have the bell cord.
Next week, we need a trial.
We need a trial.
Next week, put it on schedule. We need a trial.
All right.
Because this is really getting unacceptable. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Enrique Iglesias is 34 years old today. The mole is 27. He's got a giant mole in his face.
He does.
Has a separate birthday.
I didn't know it had its own birthday.
All right. Dave Rountree of Blur is 45. Melissa Gilbert, Little Half Pint from Little House on the Prairie, 45 years old now.
Wow.
Yeah. The prairie has not treated her well. Alex Van Halen of the band Van Halen.
Yeah.
The drummer for that band is 56 years old today. Gary Glitter, who at one time was a major pop star. He had that song Rock and Roll. Rock and Roll Part 2 you probably hear in the oldest sports event. And then he started touching kids.
And that happened.
Went right from there to there. And Don Rickles, the legendary comedian Don Rickles, who I just saw the other weekend on the TV Land Awards. They gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Jimmy Kimmel presented it with him.
Hmm.
It was a very funny, very entertaining show. And Don Rickles celebrates his 83rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Of course, this is a big day for sci-fi fans as the Star Trek movie finally hits theaters today. Lisa May, you had a chance to go see it early last night, huh?
I did. I went last night. It was so cool.
You like it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, stop right there.
What?
Stop. Oh, God, don't let a woman talk about Star Trek.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Roland.
Roland, we're allowed to enjoy sci-fi movies.
Oh, my ears.
Roland, we didn't invite you on the show.
Oh, it's like someone sticking a photon torpedo in my hinder.
God.
But it sounds to me like Lisa May is saying that she thought the movie was very good, and I would think that that would make you happy.
What could that possibly matter what a woman thinks about Star Trek?
Well, Lisa likes a lot of the same things we do.
And there are women in the movie, Roland.
Yes, I know, for our pleasure.
Oh, wow.
Like Orion Slave Girls.
What do you have going on there? You're watching an episode of the original series or something?
No, I have built myself a complete scale replica of the Galileo shuttlecraft in my basement.
Okay.
And this is now where I do all my communications from.
I see.
Really?
Yes.
Still in your mom's basement, though, right?
No, I'm in the Galileo, the shuttlecraft of the Starship Enterprise.
In your mom's basement.
I'm in a Galileo.
All right. But I think what Kevin is getting at is maybe if you'd have taken some of that money you used to build a replica of the Galileo, maybe you could have moved out and got your own place.
I have to have priorities, people.
No, uh-huh.
Okay. Can't afford everything.
Are you excited to see the Star Trek movie?
I've seen it. Hello. I've seen it four times.
Four times?
Four times.
Yes.
It opens today. How have you seen it four times?
It opened last night.
Okay.
And I saw the 6 o'clock, the 8 o'clock, the 10 o'clock, and the midnight show.
Wow.
And I'm furious.
What are you talking about?
Unacceptable what they've done to Star Trek.
Every single person is raving about this movie.
Every single person has been affected by some sort of mind meld.
I don't think so, but
one mind becomes one.
Two become one?
That too.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, what complaints have you been able to find with this movie?
Chekhov's in the movie, first of all.
Right.
Well, Chekhov was on the bridge. He was part of the Enterprise crew from the TV show.
Oh, yeah. Turns out he didn't even join until the second season. How can he be in the Enterprise in the very beginning when he wasn't even in season one?
Well, this
How
is,
can that be?
Aren't they resetting the whole Star Trek world here? I mean, you don't have to.
You mean,
follow.
are they crapping on the entire Star Trek world?
No.
Yes, if that's what you mean by resetting, by wiping smelly poopy pants all over the Star Trek world?
No.
Yes, then.
They set it up. This is an alternative
history
of them.
Okay, try not to give away too much of the movie for people who haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Roland. Everybody knows that part. That's why they're not comparing it to the original series.
First of all, the phasers, you can tell, don't even separate into a hand phaser and a pistol phaser.
What?
Okay.
Everyone knows the phaser pistols are powered by the hand phasers, and that doesn't even look like it comes off the top of their phasers.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
And there's no way that their Captain Kirk wears either a girdle and or a toupee.
Well, you don't have to.
Unacceptable.
Don't you think?
Everyone knows Kirk wears at least one toupee.
Right.
And several kinds of girdles.
But I think that was just to accommodate the actor who was playing Captain Kirk at the time who needed that. But Chris Pine is a young, good-looking guy, doesn't need any of that.
All right, hold on a sec. Where's my phaser?
What do you got? Oh, wow. What are you doing?
Trying to kill you?
Yeah. That doesn't work, Roland.
Nope. Just you pressing a toy. That's all that's going on right now.
God.
Don't you think you're being a little picky?
First of all, it's all I have.
Okay.
Star Trek's all I have.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so they have to do it right. And they've just ruined it forever.
You're the only person that I've heard say they ruined it. You
are not Genevian slime devil. That's your problem.
I don't know what that is.
Is that good or is that bad?
Well, maybe you should see Devil in the Dark, the episode from the second season, and you find out all about that, what that means.
So, Roland, clearly you're not coming on today advising people not to see this movie, right?
Yes. We must boycott until they give us what we want.
What do you want?
I want William Shatner to strap on the girdle and the hair one more time.
Okay, well, he's not in the movie. That's been pretty well publicized.
I want DeForest Kelly as Bones McCoy.
Okay, but those are the original guys.
He's dead, though, actually.
Yes.
He's not going to...
How more appropriate could Bones McCoy be than to have a skeleton?
Well, that's not going to happen either, Roland.
Creepy.
You have to deal with this, I think.
You still alive?
Yes, we're still alive.
It's just a sound effect. You don't have anything but sound effects.
I got
there.
Some work to do on this space shuttle.
All right, well, good luck with that. You work on that while we go see the movie, okay?
Still alive?
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn it!
Yeah, we're good. You know how excited I am about this, Kevin, because what's my favorite food of all time?
Pancakes.
Yeah.
Pancakes. I would eat
toast.
At every meal if I could. Pancakes toast is nirvana for me. I need nothing else in the world if I have pancakes toast. And now I find out I have the opportunity to win free Mrs. Butterworth syrup for a year. Tell me I don't need to get more details on that. So we have asked producer Alex to line up for us, the vice president of marketing for Pinnacle Foods. They make Mrs. Butterworth. And Andy Reichert joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Mrs. Butterworth, good stuff right there, my friend. What's going on with you guys?
Oh, we just keep having Mrs. Butterworth with America. She's been very, very busy, topping a lot of pancakes, having a lot of fun. She's been in movies and commercials. There's been so much interest in her. Everybody's been asking for us what her first name is. So we thought we would take this opportunity to let people guess and see if anyone could get it right.
Andy, first of all, and I don't mean this to be combative, but no one's asked you what her first name is. not a single person.
I promise
not
you,
one.
My son Zachary just
Your
the other day
Zachary.
Asked me what her name was.
Daddy, what's her name?
Okay, how long has Mrs. Butterworth been around and a spokesperson for your syrup?
She has been around since 1961, where she was first introduced. She was introduced on TV commercials and on shelves across America. And when she, I guess you would say, famously came to life and started talking to kids, it just took off like wildfire.
Okay. Now, at the time that Mrs. Butterworth was created, did she have a first name, or all this time she has never been assigned one before?
No, of course. Do you know anyone who doesn't have a first name? I guess there's people
pretend people.
Yeah, not real people, but you know, your person isn't real either. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you? Mrs. Butterworth is as real to me as Santa Claus. But here's what I'm trying to get at, Andy, is I'm trying to figure out if the way your contest works is, does she have a name that she was given back in 1961 that's in a sealed envelope in a vault somewhere and we're trying to guess it, or are you asking people to suggest a new first name for her and then you will pick one of those and that will be crowned the winner?
No, she has a name. She has a first name that she has not chosen to share yet.
Okay, so
she's taken this opportunity to share it.
Has it ever been told? Never?
Well, I believe she's told some people, some kids at the breakfast table, but I don't think she's ever told any adults.
Now, Mrs. Butterworth only speaks to children, right?
From what I can tell, she hasn't talked to me since I turned 13 years old. So,
wow.
All right. So what do people do? Do they send a postcard or a letter or an email, or how do they get the name suggestions to you?
Yeah, they can go to MrsButterworthSyrup.com/name contest, and they can submit their name along with an explanation, less than 100 words, of why they think that is her first name. And they got to do it by July 17th.
Okay. And the prize is a year's worth of free syrup?
And $500.
Well, that's nice.
But how much is a year's free?
Yeah, because a year's free syrup for me is probably four times as much as the average person.
That's a very good question.
I like to swim in my syrup. All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
Mrs. Butterworth?
Yes. No. Or is that just that whore Aunt Jemima?
What question is that, Kevin?
I need some background.
Aunt Jemima's not a slave woman either. She just happens to be a black woman. All black women aren't slaves.
No, but didn't it look to you like it?
Well, I mean, she dressed
like a mammy.
Yeah, she dressed like a mammy, but there's no indication she was a slave.
If I'm going to guess a first name, this is relevant, isn't it?
Does Mrs. Butterworth even know Aunt Jemima?
I have never asked her that question, and because she doesn't talk to me, I'm not sure I would get that answer. But I will have my children, Samantha and Zach, ask her that tonight and see if they can let us know.
What do we know about Mrs. Butterworth? How old is she?
She was born in 1961. So okay. I'm not very good at math, but that makes her, fairly old.
Sure,
she's
close to 50.
Very,
right?
Although, don't tell her I said that. She'll be mad at me now.
Stop it!
She's very sweet and grandmotherly and loves kids and loves to bring fun to the breakfast table. That's what she's all about.
She does love to bring fun to the breakfast table.
Woman.
That's true. And she's in the Navy, right? She's got the white hat.
She's one of the few women that you can call thick and rich, and she doesn't take it personally.
She is pretty thick, though. You gotta admit.
Yeah, she's
thick. I'm actually a little bit surprised you guys at some point haven't redesigned the bottle to give her a size 2 figure, to be honest, the way things are going these days. All right, so that's what we do. We go to the website, and we send in a name, and you're saying, again, to recap now, because this is important, if I'm trying to guess the name, you're saying it's a name that she's had since 1961. You're not looking for a brand new name.
Correct. She has a first name. She is not like Madonna. She has two names.
Okay. Kunta Kinte.
Kevin, what is wrong with you?
Are we trying to find a name or not? It's relevant. It's not relevant.
Clearly that's
that wasn't really a popular name in the 60s.
I will tell you that her name embodies her personality. And if you think about her personality, she's fun, she's thick and rich and buttery and very sweet.
Okay. That's a great tip, actually. I'm actually going to use that. All right. You're going to be hearing
Oprah.
From me, Andy. Would that be the best?
Is her name Oprah?
She said thick and rich.
Thick and rich.
All right.
And she looks African-American to me, so Oprah.
Oprah. All right. So is it MrsButterworth.com, Andy? Is that where we're going?
MrsButterworthSyrup.com.
Okay. Syrup.com. All right, very good. Andy.
Now, are you going to stop with the first person that gets it right, or is this going to go on through July anyway?
Yeah, entries are through July 17th, and then...
So 100 people could get it right, and they all win?
Yeah, we'll have to... I don't know. That's a very good question.
Hey, you have not thought this out.
No, there's rules. I just don't know.
Oh, there's no rules.
You're making it up as you go along.
I think only one person wins. We'll have to randomly choose if 100 people get it right.
All right.
Okay. All right. Very good. Andy Reichert, VP of Marketing for Pinnacle Foods. Good luck with Mrs. Butterworth, and be sure to let us know when the name is revealed. All right.
Okay. Take care, guys. Yeah.
I have a strong feeling it's not going to be Kunta Kinte.
It won't be Kevin.
It definitely won't be Kevin.
It shouldn't be. Thank you.
Thanks. So Manny Ramirez not playing so much as he is suspended for 50 games, due back in a Dodger uniform on July 3rd, unless something radical happens between now and then. We thought we'd find out what's going on with sports guru Andrew Siciliano, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Andrew.
Gentlemen, ladies, who's taken fertility drugs recently? Ralph?
Yes, Ralph has. He's trying to conceive. Ralph's trying to carry a baby full term.
Yeah. You try to explain that one. There's no Manny Wood needed to cork his bat punchline.
Whoa!
Here.
He's bringing it. He's bringing it.
There's nothing like that. This stuff is pretty bad.
All right. Now, we were discussing earlier with Psycho Mike, who knows all things performance enhancement drug, because let's face it, he's a freaking bodybuilder.
Yeah,
but
great.
What is your explanation, the explanation that you most believe as to why Manny was taking this? For the Manny Wood, or because he was hoping to use it to help him come back from steroids?
All right, about a year and a half ago, Jose Canseco, who is kind of the godfather of all of this, right? He's the guy that's thrown darts at everyone, but no one wants to believe him. He's the boy who cried wolf, who turns out to be legit most every time.
Which is why his last book was called Vindicated, because he realized that people now know he was telling the truth.
Exactly. Jose Canseco was arrested coming back from Mexico in San Diego with a case of this stuff.
Oh.
And people said, Jose... Excuse me, it's early. Why do you have that? He said, well, because I need it to regain my natural testosterone level after going off of roids.
Oh, so he got caught with this exact same drug.
Exact same drug, and he went on probation. This is why people use it, period. The list of possible usages for this stuff, it's called HCG. And when you actually sound it out, it sounds even worse. It's human chorionic gonadotropin.
I heard gonad, too. That's it.
The lists of usages for a 36-year-old man, and I'm not a doctor, are almost non-existent. But if he truly did need it, here's the kicker. Major League Baseball, like any reasonable, you would hope it's a reasonable employer, allows you an exemption. If you go to them and say, I need this, here's the note for my doctor, and here's why I need it. Yet Manny has never applied.
You can get permission ahead of time if you really need it.
Now, that doesn't mean they would grant permission, but you could at least ask for it for this or for any other drug which is on MLB's banned list. If you think you need it, you and your doctor can go to MLB and say, hey, I think I need this. So he can say, well, I was having trouble in the bedroom, but come on.
Okay.
So is that why he didn't go to them? Because he thought it would be embarrassing?
You really think that?
Well, I think Andrew is suggesting that's not what he's using it for.
Yeah.
Look, I'm willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
No, you're not.
Doesn't sound like it, first of all.
I'm with you. They're never telling the truth on this stuff.
But, Andrew, let me ask you a question. This apparently is used to get your body back to normal after using steroids. Is it still possible to take steroids and take tests and pass?
Yeah, in the off season.
It is. You can take them in the off season,
mm-hmm.
and then you stop a certain amount of time before you know you're going to get tested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. You know, it's a rite of spring. Every year, baseball writers, baseball reporters, or anyone else who wants to show up goes into Florida or now Arizona, and they see the guys come in from the off season. Hey, you have a great winter. Okay, wow, you're really working out. Wow, I put on 30 pounds. You put on 30 pounds? Go ask Mike. Look, I'm not exactly Mike here, but I used to work out a lot, too. You know how hard it is to put on 30 pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was easy for me.
Well, I mean, I could do it if I sit on the couch and eat and don't work out, but to actually put on 30 pounds of muscle weight. Look, I am not in any way a world-class athlete. I'm not even a high school class athlete, all right? But to put on 30 pounds of muscle weight. Now, Manny didn't do that. Yeah, but you know, if you go back to the glory days of roids, when guys that were 180 pound shortstops showing up at 220 in March, there was really only one way to do it.
What percentage of Major League Baseball players would you guess do steroids in the off season?
I'd say it's down considerably because the stuff, most of these guys are amateurs, and the stuff doesn't leave your system. It doesn't leave your system overnight. There are plenty of them that do, but unless you really, really know what you're doing, it's not worth the risk anymore because of a 50-game suspension. These guys don't get paid. You know, that's why this is so shocking. It's not that people are getting suspended. There are always names that pop up, but Manny, for Pete's sake, it's $7.7 million.
Yeah.
Out of his pocket.
People, that's a hit even for a guy like Manny.
No, and here's the other thing. Why do roids when you can do HGH? And HGH, there's no test for it, or there's no legitimate blood test that's accepted, or urine test right now. Let me rephrase.
They can't detect if you're doing human growth hormone?
Not urine test, okay?
Okay.
So there isn't a test. So these guys can get away with HGH. Now, the suspension is still the same, but they can get away with it because they don't look for it. So why go to the hardcore roid stuff, right? I mean, the Russian and German Olympic stuff from the 60s and 70s stuff. Now, there's no evidence that Manny was doing that. But in general, the easier way to cheat is HGH.
And that's what you're about, is telling kids the easy way to cheat, right?
Yeah,
Andrew?
Kids, don't listen to me. Don't walk in any gym in L.A. and buy the stuff in a locker room.
How does baseball not have a test for human growth hormone?
It's not about baseball. It's about just across the board. There really is no official. It is one of the conundrums right now in drug testing. Huh. And that is finding a quick, easy, cheap, efficient way of testing HGH on a regular basis.
I have another question for you, Mr. Siciliano, and that is the one aspect of this story that was missing yesterday that I expected to see was to have a representative for Manny stand up and say, we're going to fight it. We're going to challenge it. We don't think it's fair. We don't think it's right. Everybody from Joe Torre on down on the interviews yesterday was just saying, well, we'll miss him. We'll see him in July.
You know, supposedly he was going to challenge it and then at the last second decided it's not worth it because probably he would have to sit here and do what we're trying to do, which is explain why a 36-year-old man would need HCG. If it truly were some kind of bedroom issue,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think he would suck it up and say, for $7.7 million, I'll take a little egg on my face?
Whoa.
Is that how it works?
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
I'm not sure how that...
$7.7 million.
What you're talking about.
I will at least throw myself to the wolves publicly and try to explain it. All right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Please. Come on. He can go on Oprah and say, Oprah, I need help. I need help in the bedroom, for Pete's sake. Manny Wood isn't everything that, you know, it's supposed to be.
Sure.
He would do that, I would think. And what I don't like either is, and I'm not ripping Joe Torre here, for Pete's sake. The man's a saint. But he stood up there and said, in essence, look, the guy owned it. He apologized. Well, he apologized for, quote, the situation.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the really broad, yeah, I'm kind of out of town, I'm on vacation, I'll call you in 50 games kind of apology.
All right, let me ask you one more question because we're almost out of time here,
yes,
Andrew,
sir.
And that is, what are his Dodger teammates thinking now? Are they pissed off at him, or are they sad that he got caught, or what's going through their heads, do you think?
You know, I think it's going to go through the normal cycle of a breakup. You're shocked, and then maybe you're saddened, and then maybe you're angry, and then maybe you're revengeful. I'm not sure. Right now, they're just shocked. I was trying to come up with an analogy, and I can't come up with a good analogy from entertainment or for anything else in sports. It's like a breakup. It was absolutely mind-bogglingly bad.
And no one saw it coming. Zero.
Well, I mean, look, if you really want to be the cynic says everybody is on it, and that there is no such thing as a shocking positive test in baseball, and that is sad and that is depressing. But I'll say this, at 178 pounds, as a rookie in Cleveland in 94 and 95, he was on the 95 World Series team. Manny Ramirez at 180 pounds as a kid was a breathtaking Hall of Fame, once in a generation, buy a ticket to see him talent. Roids didn't make him that way. Roids, though, did hypothetically take men in their mid-30s and make certain that they hang on for a couple of more years at ungodly levels. See,
I got you
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the dude is still batting, what, like 360 or something crazy this season. Yeah.
I was on Monday night. I saw him hit a ball that barely got 20 feet off the ground into the left field pavilion like that. It went out in a second.
Exactly. All right. Well, obviously, very sad news for Dodger fans. Good news for the rest of the National League West, though, but we'll keep an eye on this. And, Andrew, we always appreciate your perspective on all things sports. Come in and see us sometime soon, all right, man?
Absolutely, guys.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. We have tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2009. Hey, Ralph, are you giving away anything in your thing here?
No.
Okay. Just after the news at 7, we're gonna play a game, give you a chance to win those tickets. If you want to join us 1 week from Saturday for the big, big lineup that you've heard about with Weezer and Kings of Leon and everybody, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to be playing Can Kevin Repeat This? Coming up after the news at 7. It's been a while since we've had that game on the air, you guys. I kind of missed it.
Yeah, I missed it, too.
It's going to be a good time.
Kids love great. It. Great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Yeah.
First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday. What the heck's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, was anyone else confused by Kevin's racist comedy against Mrs. Buddyworth?
It's no racist. I was trying to figure out a first name basis.
So you asked, first of all, if she was a slave woman.
Well, I think I got her mixed
then
up with Aunt Jemima.
Her name was Kunta Kinte.
Well, that was just a joke on the first thing. I thought I must have been getting her mixed up with Aunt Jemima.
But I just don't know why you think Mrs. Butterworth is black.
Because when you see a picture of her, it's black.
Because the bottle holds a brown liquid, you mean?
Well, is it white when there's no brown liquid in it?
Yeah, it's just a clear bottle.
So she's clear at best.
Yes, she's clear.
Okay.
But I just
think we
all know Mrs. Butterworth. I can't imagine why you would think she was black.
I'm looking at a picture of Mrs. Butterworth, and it's black.
Play a little piece of Mrs. Butterworth for me.
Hello, I'm Mrs. Butterworth.
Jeepers, you can talk?
Why, yes, of course.
Mrs. Butterworth, why do you taste so good?
It's because I'm so thick and rich.
Big and rich?
And buttery, too?
That's right, dear.
Look, it's 2007. I'm going to need to see some proof.
Well, see how much thicker I am than the other leading brand?
Wow, you're pretty cool for a talking bottle of syrup.
Mrs. Butterworth, so thick, so buttery.
And still just as sweet.
She sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire before she sounds like Kunta Kinte.
Well, this is going to surprise you, but I don't think I've ever seen that commercials. But look, the picture in front of me was black, so...
Kevin.
What's wrong with you?
Kevin.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah. I just feel bad for Mrs. Butterworth.
This
is
Butterworth's world.
On her, man.
Is a syrup bottle. You don't need to feel bad for her.
Well, she used to talk to me when I was a kid. That's all I know.
And if you're black, it doesn't necessarily mean you were a slave either, Kevin. I mean, we've moved a little past that.
Does it?
A number of years.
Doesn't Aunt Jemima look like that, though? Didn't she look
for
a while?
She did at one time.
Okay, yes. So you know where I'm getting it from. Stop trying to fan the flames. But that's where I got it from.
But we weren't talking about Mrs. What about Aunt Jemima?
I just said to you I probably got them mixed up. What's wrong with you both?
It's a big mistake. That's all I'm saying. It's hard to make that mistake.
It's a little mistake.
And why does this delight the Negro?
I don't know. Ask Kevin. He's the expert.
Needless to say, you all failed.
Kentucky Fried Chicken had riots on its hands. Anything, Kevin?
Kevin, don't say anything.
Got anything?
I was there. I was at a Kentucky Fried Chicken when they ran out of chicken.
Oprah Winfrey was offering coupons for free grilled chicken dinners, and they were so mobbed, some stores ran out, and some stores were overrun by people and had to ask for police support. Roads and streets were blocked in front of some stores. So many people showed up.
Wow, those are hungry people.
Or is it the power of Oprah? Is that she reaches so many that she...
Could be that, too.
She could incite violence if she chose to.
I'm sure she could.
Yeah, I bet she could.
Yeah.
Just testing it out to see what kind of power she wielded.
Yeah.
What sent you to the Kentucky Fried Chicken store, Kevin? Was it the coupon? You wanted to try out the new chicken?
I do love Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I know you do.
And my kids love it. So I took them, but I was going to get the original. I'm not interested in the grill.
Oh, you weren't interested in the coupon. You weren't.
But we brought two coupons for my kids, and there's a sign right up front said, don't have any more free chicken. Sorry.
Chicken.
Come back next week.
Yeah. They must have given away more chicken than they've sold in a long time, I can imagine. So, yeah. Troubles with the KFC.
Does my butt look big?
Does he eat all that chicken, Oprah? Keanu Reeves has a new role. He'll be taking on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Ooh, that might require some acting.
Oh, Lisa, it's going to be great.
Oh, no.
Because he gets to play Dr. Jekyll, and then when he takes the potion, he becomes the evil Mr. Hyde.
Mm.
Oh. So it goes from whoa to whoa.
That is not good.
This does not seem good, no.
I can see him as Dr. Jekyll. Sort of the dull, boring, version of the character, but the homicidal maniac version of Mr. Hyde?
Yeah.
It's hard to picture.
Keanu, is this exciting for you?
Yes, it is. It's kind of, it's the, what is it? It's a kind of the, it, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And speaking of Oprah, if you ever wanted to know more about Susan Boyle, who is the woman who has the number one most watched video ever on YouTube. She is the woman from the British series, England's Got Talent or whatever.
Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah. She and Simon Cowell will be at Oprah on Monday, so you can see what she's all about. Looks good with her new makeover.
Yeah, she looks okay.
That's for sure. And the AMC has announced that Mad Men is going into production today.
Finally.
Season 3 of the show is going into production and promises all the characters will be back, and they're hoping for a full season by the end of this year. So we'll
Bean and I were talking. I mean, it'll be a year since we've seen that show, won't it?
Yeah, it will be. They take a year off in between series.
Too long.
Met John Hamm at a comedy show, The April Foolishness.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. He's the man.
He's a good-looking man.
He sure is. And let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Comedian Don Rickles is 83 years old today. Classic, legendary comedian. Alex Van Halen of Van Halen is 56. Melissa Gilbert turns 45 years old today. Dave Roundtree of Blur is 45. And Enrique Iglesias celebrates his 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2009 is completely sold out at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You got your Weezer, your Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Rancid, Silver Sun Pickups, Airborne Toxic Event, Cage the Elephant, White Lies, and of course there's the K-Rock Bud Light Stage Dose as well. It is sold out, but we are giving away tickets all this weekend and all next week here on K-Rock. And in fact, I think we have a pair to give away right now, don't we?
We do, as a matter of fact, with a little game we like to call Can Kevin Repeat This?
Oh, I hate Monday mornings. It's so hard to get up and get to school and or work.
So I say, would it help to know you could listen to Kevin and Bean Show or something?
You tried waking up and turning on the always entertaining and often informative Kevin and Bean Show?
Have you tried rolling over and turning on the always informative and... What would cause me to even try that? Have you thought of rolling over and turning on the entertaining and always... Come on, now I can't do it. And f*** you both, because you're just going to go bleed that in.
Well, of course we are, but give us more. Come on, ready? Right. You can do that.
Have you tried
rolling over, turning on the always entertaining and equally informative Kevin Beathier? Try it again.
Just what you said next.
Try it again.
I'm not going to try it again!
See you Monday.
K-Rock.
That's how it all began. That was the genesis of Can Kevin Repeat yeah. That? Ralph Garman joins us now. Ralph, you've got the questions for us today. We got contestants on the line ready to play. You want to explain how it's going to work?
It's going to be simple. I will read a statement regarding the bands or the event itself of the K-Rock Weenie Roast. And Kevin just has to repeat it. That's all.
Oh, easy.
Okay. As we've easier. Seen, I'm really, really good at that.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
Nope.
Do you think Kevin can repeat?
Uh-uh.
Do you really think Kevin can repeat this? No, I didn't think so, neither do I. Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Remember Ducks and all the time him. Do you think Kevin can repeat
all right.
this?
No.
Let's all find out if Kevin can repeat this now.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. Diane is in on line one. Excuse me, on line one, our first contestant for Can Kevin Repeat This. So everyone who correctly identifies whether Kevin's going to be able to pull it off or not goes into the drawing. Lisa will let us know in about 5 minutes who wins the tickets. Diane, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Diane.
Okay. Hi.
Diane, we're going to turn down Kevin's headphones so he doesn't hear this, and I'm going to ask you if you think he can repeat the following statement, okay?
Okay.
Is Kevin's headphones down?
Kevin's headphones are off.
Okay. I'm going to ask Kevin to repeat this. The Kings of Leon debuted in 2003 with an EP named Holy Roller Novocaine.
No.
Okay. Kevin is back in the mix. Kevin, do we need to tell Kevin what Diane said, or does it not matter?
Doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. Okay. All right, listen up. Here's phrase number one.
The Kings of Leon debuted in 2003 with an EP named Holy Roller Novocaine.
The Kings of Leon debuted in 2003 with an EP, Holy Roller, something.
Okay.
What was the last one?
It was close.
It was very close,
but
unfortunately incomplete. Holy Roller Novocaine.
Novocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, fortunately, Diane said no, you would not be able to repeat that, so she is in the drawing for the ticket. So well done, Diane. We move on to line two now. It's going to be Ariel. Hey, Ariel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
All right, Kevin is out of the mix. Here's Ralph. You tell him whether you think Kevin will be able to repeat this phrase.
Among the items not allowed at the Weenie Roast are coolers, blankets, or lawn chairs.
I'm going to have to say no.
You say no?
All right.
Okay. All right, Kevin, listen up. Here's your phrase.
Among the items not allowed at the Weenie Roast are coolers, blankets, or lawn chairs.
Among the items not allowed at the Weenie Roast are coolers, blankets, or wheelchairs.
It wasn't wheelchairs, was it?
That was so close.
I think officially this year we have to allow wheelchairs, right? What was it?
Lawn chairs. But Kevin is fired at like 95%.
Come on.
I know. It's very impressive.
Close. What did Ariel say?
She said no.
That's a great guess.
Yeah.
All right. So two for two. Fantastic. Let's try Carlos on line three. Hi, Carlos. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your phrase?
Yes, I am. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
The airborne toxic event is named after a section in the novel White Noise.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. All right, Kevin, listen up.
The airborne toxic event is named after a section in the novel White Noise.
The airborne toxic event is named after a section in the novel White Noise.
Wow!
Look at that. Well done.
Carlos, well I hope done. You said yes.
He said no.
Damn
you.
I let him down.
Now, Lisa, you were going to try to give Kevin the evil eye to screw him up.
I did on the first two. I let him go on this one.
Oh, come on, Lisa.
Oh, all right, I'll give him the evil eye.
I'll get him this one.
She's slacking.
All right. Nilo?
You may not need the evil eye for the next one.
Oh, great.
Is it Nilo on line five? Is that your name?
Nilo.
Okay.
Nilo.
All right.
Nilo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen up for your phrase.
I should have said, can Kevin repeat Nilo or Nilo? Verizon Wireless, formerly AirTouch Cellular, now owns the former Irvine Meadows Amphitheater.
He's not going to get it.
All right.
Verizon Wireless, formerly AirTouch Cellular, now owns the former Irvine Meadows Amphitheater.
Oh, no. Verizon Wireless, formerly AirTouch.
Oh, God. I'm so stupid. Okay.
What just happened?
Let him
finish.
Was
that? That's not fair.
Was I right so far?
Yes.
Yes, that's why he was disappointed, yes, yes, I think. Yes, yes, yes.
Verizon Wireless, formerly AirTouch Cellular, now owns Irvine Meadows.
Pretty close, but you missed the former Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Is what we're looking for. But I got to say, in Kevin's defense,
I think Nilo threw a flag or something in the middle of that play.
I really do. I think it broke up his rhythm. I think he would have gotten it otherwise.
I don't know that, but...
I'm sorry, Nilo. I think we are eliminating you.
I think so.
Yeah, from Earth?
Yes.
That's an interference penalty.
Yeah, interference penalty. I'm sorry, Neil, you don't get a chance to win. But you're lucky we didn't go to the next step, which is the murder button. I mean, it could have been a lot worse for you.
That's true.
All right, let's try Lionel, and he is on line six. So, Lionel, you learned something from the last caller. You don't interrupt when Kevin is trying to repeat, okay?
Yeah, that was a good strategy, though. Why can't I? Oh.
Yeah, well.
That's an interference penalty.
Dude, you don't need it, is what I'm saying.
All right.
All right, listen up.
The trio known as the Yeah Yeah Yeahs were originally a duo called Unitard.
No, I'm going to say no.
That's a good guess.
Okay.
I didn't hear what it was, but...
He said no. Nobody has faith in you today, Kevin, but I'm feeling pretty good about this one.
I'm sure you are.
The trio known as the Yeah Yeah Yeahs were originally a duo called Unitard.
The trio known as Yeah Yeah Yeahs were originally a duo named Leotard.
He dropped one word and changed another. What do you think, Ralph?
I say no, that was not correct.
What was it? Unitard, that's right.
You hear named Unitard, the dude, not Leotard.
All right.
You're a different kind of tard completely. Yeah.
Let's do one more. Philip will be our final contestant. Hey, Philip, welcome to the Kevin Abid Show. You ready to hear your phrase?
Yes, I am.
All right, good luck.
The live Winnie let me try that again. The live Winnie Roast broadcast is sponsored by The Hangover, a new comedy from the director of Old School.
No, he won't get that.
Okay. By the way, unanimously no this morning from the listeners, Kevin. I don't know what that says, but let's see you surprise him, man. Let's see you go out on a high.
Well, I don't think we do this game because I'm good at it.
This is the safest of the bets, I think.
All right.
The live Winnie Roast broadcast is sponsored by The Hangover, a new comedy from the director of Old School.
The Winnie Roast. Am I already wrong?
Yeah. So.
All right.
Wait, what was it?
The live Winnie Roast. That's how it starts.
Yeah.
The live Winnie Roast broadcast.
Yeah.
You said the Winnie Roast.
I hope Philip said no.
He did say no. Everybody said no.
See, this is difficult because if I try to get it right, I screw the listeners.
Right. Well,
don't worry about that. Just play the game, man.
That's right. Yeah. All right, Diane, Ariel, Lionel, and Philip. Do I have that right? Those are our four contestants, Lisa?
Yes. And the winner is Diane.
Yay! Diane, congratulations. Right. You are going to be at the K-Rock Winnie Roast E-Fiesta 2009.
Thank you, guys.
And thanks for playing this wonderful game.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this? No! Let's all find out if Kevin can repeat this now!
Friday morning here, we've got our friend Adam Carolla joining us after the news at 8 o'clock this morning. Mr. Skin next hour, and of course Friday means the movie beat. Right now, though, how about Dave Attell in the studio here at the World Famous K-Rock?
Thanks for having me.
Bright and early. You know, I know we've had you on the show before, and I'm always struck by how wide awake you are in the morning compared to so many other people. You must be a morning person or are still up from last night.
Well, it's a good question. I'm actually, I don't sleep. So, yeah, I guess you could say it's a continuation.
Still sort of up? Are you always tired?
Last night. Always tired, yes. I like to give 50% at all times.
Excellent. You know,
I'm never really on. I'm never really off.
And then you're a little sleepy all day long, mm-hmm. but you can catch little naps along the way.
I do my sleeping on stage.
On stage, good.
Yes.
Good. That's perfect.
Sounds like a lot of fun. You can see Dave sleep on stage, by the way, at the Improv in Brea. It's going to be tonight and tomorrow night. Improv.com or call 714-482-0700. I always used to wonder if the reason you were the guy who was tapped to do the Insomniac show is because you were up anyway. Maybe, you know, that was why it was your ideas, because you had seen the world overnight.
Yes. That was before Twitter and before a lot of other, things. So that was the entertainment we had, was called going out and drinking all night.
Right.
We didn't have, Xbox or Guitar Hero. We just had a lot of alcohol and hopefully a really strong liver.
So. How worthless would your life have been had you started now with video games and the internet and everything else? I mean, it seems like it's hard to even get outside.
Yeah, it's kind of like karate. either you get into it when you're young or you kind of have to give it up. Like, I guess I'll never be a karate master.
Right.
You know, like, if I became, like, the best Guitar Hero guy, who would care? You know, I'm an old man.
are you on the Twitter? Do you do that, Dave?
No, I don't do any of that. I really don't even know what it is. It's kind of like an elaborate phone call. Is that what it is?
No, it's not that interesting. Oh. It's just you saying, hey, I'm walking down the street right now.
Oh, that's it?
Well,
that's
it doesn't have, I mean, you can type that. It doesn't have, I mean, that's what some people use it. But basically, it's extended text conversation with as many people as you want. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
What? Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's all you're missing much, right?
That's what everybody's talking about?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm afraid so. Mm. What do you like to do for fun, Dave?
Well, let's take it back a week. This swine flu thing.
Swine flu, please.
So now what am I going to do with 100 gallons of Purell? What am I supposed to do with that now? Am I allowed to hug something now? What's going on?
Was that the biggest
thing? Is it all clear? A smiley
face? For the shortest
face?
Amount of time?
Yeah, it was. It was like a whole week. Like, if that topped American Idol. That was like the only thing that's ever topped.
Yeah.
It. Can you imagine that? People like, what's... No, I can't even talk about American Idol. There's a flu out there that I
and
need
it's
going to
kill us all. And the World Health Organization, a bunch of people saying, don't travel. Whatever you do, don't go to America. Don't go to Mexico. Don't do this. Don't do that. And then the next week, it was just like, gone.
Well, that was the worst part about it. Because, like, you know, Mexico got a really tough break on that. Because I've been down there. And let me just say one thing. Your chances of catching a flu down there are so small. There's so many other things that could happen to you.
They're going to happen to you first?
Yeah, like, you know, from narco trafficking.
You should be lucky to catch the flu,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Being caught in a crossfire.
Get your head cut off.
You know, having a
kidnapped.
Sniff, a sniffle doesn't really matter.
Hey, Mexico! What the hell are you doing? Will some country that speaks Spanish yell at Mexico, please? They're going to ruin everything!
Yeah, but that was only for a week, and then... Fine.
Now we're back.
Everything's good. Yeah. It's a flu.
Now I can concentrate on the Somali boat pirates.
I want to be a boat pirate.
Do you? They don't have a website. Now, how come they're not Twittering?
That's a good question.
I'm getting up the gangplank, you know, whatever. Look of terror in eye of crewmen. Yeah, well, you know, that's a rough part of the world. And the days of gallivanting around in a tanker off the coast of Yemen are over. I mean, I remember me and a couple of Panamanian boys just rolling around on the high seas. It's over.
Those were good times, though.
Yeah,
at least
they
you
really
have the memories. It is weird, though, I think it was a wake-up call for a lot of people a month ago or so to realize how serious the pirate problem is still. Like, that's how a lot of people make a living, is going out and robbing ships. I mean, how is that a job?
Well, they don't have rap over there, so they got to do the best they can. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's kind of thug culture. They're rough guys. You know, what are they supposed to do? Work at the Staples in Abu Dhabi?
Probably not.
But what have they been doing for 10 years ago? What were they doing?
I don't know.
It's a brand new plans. Thing. Pirates coming
back. They
were
back. Fishing.
Yeah, they were fishing.
It actually started because other...
Oh, is that true?
Other countries were fishing in their waters.
Oh, that's
and dumping toxic waste. Oh, yeah. Really? I don't see a piracy problem off of Maryland. Let me tell you something. They can use that victim card only once.
There's an opening, though, there. You could be a pirate off.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's needed. That's an open position.
Well, we have to get like a Tyra Banks to find the next top pirate.
Oh, dear
I
God.
Think like
oh.
There's got to be one that's like the most amazing out of all of them, you know? And he's camera ready. He's going to want to hug the pirate.
What kind of jobs did you do before you were able to make a living in comedy? Or if it's a better question, what kind of job would you have now if you weren't funny?
Well, that's actually the best question, because I really feel like I need like a career change. And I'm
now?
Thinking, yeah, no, I think I'm too old now, you know, and I got to get off the road somehow. I'm thinking locksmithing. That sounds kind of cool.
Locksmithing.
People will always need a locksmith.
Exactly. 24-hour locksmith. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're kind of like robbing people, but not. You're like a helpful robber. Like you break into stuff. You get that... thrill.
The rush.
Yeah, of like opening something that's not yours, but then it's like helpful, you know.
Plus
not,
you have a
you
backup
for
key
yeah.
for anyone's house that you want to go back and visit.
Right. Well, that's the other the other career after that one gets, you know. Now, I don't know, man. I like doing comedy a lot. I've been doing it over 20 years. And, you know, the thing about comedy is like whether people know who you are or you don't, the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's kind of like weightlifting without roids. You know, it's like a lot of intense, you know, doing it. And, I feel like I'm a better comic now, but, you know, it has to do with, like, you know, getting people in the rooms and, like, you know, promoting. I'm not really a good self-promoter. I guess I'm not of that different generation.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's a tough, that's a whole different skill.
Yeah.
It is. And so people who come to Brea, people who see the show tonight, tomorrow night, they'll have a great time. It's just the part of your day where you have to spend trying to get people there. That's the part that's tough.
That's even cool. Like, because you guys are pretty cool to me, and I'm not just saying that because you have every classic album cover from the 60s and 70s here.
We do have some good ones.
Yeah, this is pretty neat. And it's the actual getting to the gig that's even harder. Like, if I have to, flying around and everything like that, which I guess you could say is like, oh, poor you. But, you know, taking three flights to get to a place, I feel like that place shouldn't be there.
It's too difficult to get to.
If you have to fly from, you know, jet to prop to actual hot air balloon to get to a place, it's not good.
Just don't do comedy there.
Yeah.
The good news is it's just freeways to get to Brea, so you won't have any problem. Dave Attell is going to be at the Improv in Brea tonight and tomorrow night. Improv.com or 714-482-0700. We'll take a quick break. Come back more with Dave after this. Funny man Dave Attell is in our studio on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. He is going to be at the Brea Improv tonight and tomorrow night. Very funny stuff. Tickets are available through improv.com. Hey, forgive me. I don't mean this in a bad way, Dave, but I didn't realize that there was a new Gong show that you were involved in. Is that still on the air or did I already miss it?
No, it's we did six of them, and then I think that was it.
I thought we talked to you about that.
Yeah.
We talked to Dave
to me about
the
not
show.
Doing it. it's very hard to redo a classic, that's for sure.
But I would imagine the original was on so long ago that a lot of people who saw the new one probably never even saw it. I mean, all you have to do is bring on terrible entertainment, and it seems like people would watch.
Well, I wanted to bring on... more eclectic, rough, politically incorrect entertainment. And we got some really good acts for that. But I have to say that I kind of misjudged because it wasn't my idea, not like the other shows that I've done. This was like something they hired me in to do, you know. And I was like, okay, let's go like the total opposite of like American Idol and all these other shows. And I guess people really like those shows.
Yeah,
so that they don't want to see offbeat, politically incorrect entertainment. I was like, it's going to be a whole like masses of people who can't wait for like really rough and ready. No.
I used to think that too, and then I realized I'm kind of on my own. I love bad,
right?
And most people are fine without bad. They don't
like
need
mediocre.
It. Yeah, mediocre or good, sure. But bad is not on the radar. And for me, that's the best.
Yeah.
Were there any contestants you had, comedic or otherwise, that you just really dug and thought, why isn't this person like huge? Because what they do is so unique or interesting.
Oh, there was a ton of great ones. I mean, some of them have already been on other shows. Some of them said, we don't want to do those other shows because we wanted to, you know, do our act the way we do it, which I totally get as a, you know, as a semi, successful comic, you know, that you don't want to change what you do.
Sure.
So we had, like, from the bagpiping, you know, juggling people to, you know, a lot of people using, you know, darts, shooting darts with other parts of their body. a lot of it, like Nitro Circus kind of stuff, like very, very rough. What can I say? Like, you know, alternative circus.
Sure. Right. The stuff that's not going to get on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, none of that. Yeah.
They wouldn't take it.
But yeah, no, it was fun. It was fun to host a show inside. That was like the first time I ever got to do that. So I felt like I was, you know, like an adult.
You didn't have a hangover from that one.
Oh, I didn't know hangover.
So that's better.
Yeah. Just an incredible self-esteem drop.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Now, Psycho Mike is telling us that you are a connoisseur of fine porn. Is that true?
Yes. In fact, the next thing I do, I want to do something on old porn. But yeah, I like porn, and you know what's cool about porn is that you can talk about Craigslist all you want about the sex thing,
right.
You know. But without it, what is Craigslist?
Without the porn,
yeah,
people selling a bike.
Yeah, well, that's eBay. All right?
Okay.
They had a niche. They got to really keep that going for the traveling businessman and whatnot. I mean, they really.
So
do
you're
need.
Disappointed that they're cracking down on the Craigslist killers of the world?
Well, not cracking down on the killers.
He's not looking for a killer. He's looking for a hooker.
You took it. You took it to the next level. Like so. It's like a Senate investigator.
I'm saying it's those ads that enabled the Craigslist killer to get women to come over to his apartment and vice versa. That's all I'm saying.
A few bad apples, you know.
Right. Sure. I know. Yeah. Let's not judge everybody.
Doing a
right.
Great thing. You know, if Google could talk, can you imagine what it would say?
It is unbelievable. I mean, we are living in an amazing technological time when something like Craigslist that came up, and maybe a lot of people didn't give it any thought, but I mean, almost single-handedly, Craigslist is what's putting newspapers out of business. I mean, people don't realize that.
Craigslist?
I think it's because. Craigslist, yeah, because the classifieds was a huge part of the income that newspapers used to get. And who would ever put a classified ad in a newspaper anymore? It would be pointless. You'd reach so many more people putting it on Craigslist. That's what really is bringing the newspapers to their knees.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I think, you know what, but there's also a lot of news sources out there now. I haven't read a newspaper in, 10 years, I don't think.
Well, right. I read them all the time. What am I, the oldest man in the world?
Well, no.
I don't Twitter, and I read newspapers.
But the problem with newspapers is it's, you know, 12 hours old or however long by the time you see it, and usually websites have updated stuff.
Well,
Dave,
true.
You are becoming Don Rickles. That's what's happening exactly. Right before your eyes. You soon will be Don Rickles.
You know, but there's no better way to tell someone, don't talk to me in an airport than reading a newspaper. You're reading a newspaper. People don't want, you know, come out and say, hey, the guy's doing something. He's reading.
That's very important. You know, he seems engrossed
if you're
in
like,
that.
If you're texting or something like that, people think like, oh, he's not really doing anything. So they come up and, right. you know.
Do you put the headphones on, Toots, trying to
discourage? Headphones, what's that?
Let me go back to my porn question, because I sense we cut you off before you finish. What kind of porn are you into? Because, like Mike, for instance, in the back of the room there, it has to be so unbelievably freaky that the rest of us can't stomach it for it to begin to turn him on.
I'm afraid to go down that road because I don't think you can ever get married after that.
Yeah, you can't go back.
Yeah, you can't, because then it's like, everything's like, well.
Right. So once you see Blackzilla, for example,
Yes.
That's it.
That is huge.
You're ruined, really, forever.
Well, that's my favorite when, when a man might whip out something gigantic, and then the girl goes like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know.
They always have that shocked look on their face.
That's like, huge. You know. Kids, I'm like, why, you know, go full tilt. It's not a kid show. But, no, there's a lot of great porn out there. The problem with the porn business for my friends who are in it is that they're giving it away. I mean, it's all over the internet for free, so why buy the tapes? I still buy them because I want to be caught in a sting in an actual video store.
That's your goal?
That's easy press.
You are old school, aren't you?
Yeah, like I like to go to the porn stores, you know, in New York. That's, by the way, you remember when they kept saying that, like, every time you buy porn, the terrorists get money
they get
or
supported,
something.
Right?
Yeah, of course, because it was something fun to do and salacious.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so it's not like, you know, whatchamacallit, you know, they're behind the whole, like, Cobb salad thing. You know, that goes to terrorism. So, whatever.
I'm not a fan of the clientele that usually seems to be in those stores.
Well, I just like the guys that work there.
You mean guys like Dave Attell that you run into when you go to the stores?
Yeah. I like the guys that work there, though, because one guy, they have two guys. It's a two-man team. One guy works the register. The other guy sits on a ladder to make sure no one's stealing.
That's true.
Which is pretty cool, because then, like, you know, if you're like me and cool about it, you'll go, like, you'll ask him questions. So it's kind of like the reverse, like, Santa department store thing. You know, he's sitting up there, and you got to kind of go like, hey, do you have, you know, hot girls go blah, 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 blah? And he doesn't know any English, so he'll look at you and hand you something else. But whatever. Yeah, I like a lot of different types of porn. I would say that my favorite, I went recently from VHS to DVD because I had that whole big bag of old VHS tapes.
Wow, you are in the...
I was hoping in this stock market crash that would have been like the new gold, you know, like the old, you know, it's something I owned, you know, like property, but no devaluation.
Where are you on Joe Rogan's favorite brand of porn, which is anything that involves bottles or cups? Do you have a feeling on that?
Oh, is that his favorite?
Well, I don't know that it's his favorite. Every time he comes in, he has some new video to show us that involves
somebody exploding something someplace that hurts.
But it's very important that none of us like it. That's important to him. It has to be such a turn off.
Well, here's how it is, like, when people sending you clips, like, you always expect it to be something horrific, something sexual. So, like, when people send me the Suzanne Boyle thing,
right?
It's like, I'm already, I got the tissues out. I'm like, what? Huh? Somebody living a dream.
And then you had like a week off. You couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't get excited again.
I had to reboot my package.
Yeah, yeah, that's rough.
And I was no fan of her makeover either. By the way, I think she now looks freaky with the eyebrows trimmed and everything like that.
Oh, she got a makeover.
Yes.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. Because naturally, you can't be in the public eye and look like that, I guess.
Well,
is what
she was a bush
me.
Pig, let's be honest.
Well hey, no offense, but I've been to England, all right, in a country of sevens, to put down a four like that.
That's true.
I mean, really.
Seems unkind.
Like, they're like, look at her with her only four teeth, and we have two snaggly teeth. I mean, come on. They should have buddied up on her.
Oops. Dave Attell, whose phone is ringing, is going to be at the Downtown Brea Improv at improv.com. Call 714-482-0700. How often do you play in Southern California, Dave? Is this a rare treat for your fans, or are you here all the time?
I'll be back out, like, in another week or two to do the Magic Club thing. But I'm surprised you didn't put me down for my old man ring. That was an actual ring. No ringtone.
No T.I. song or anything like that coming
no
out.
No orgasmic scream. No nothing, you know, whatever. Famous bear attack.
You do have to go look for that sound effect. It's like an old time sound
classic
effect.
Classic ring.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be cool if I got classic calls with my classic ring.
You
hey,
are
it's
old
Buzz
school,
Aldrin
man.
On the phone. What's up? Moon launch? You gotta be crazy.
Go to improv.com and go see Dave tonight and or tomorrow night. And, of course, myspace.com/Attell is the website. Dave, great to see you again.
Thanks, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, man. It's Kevin and Bean Show, Nine Inch Nails. They're kicking off their big tour with Jane's Addiction today, as a matter of fact. It's 7:55. Rob was here. It's Friday. Time for the movie beat.
Yes.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry.
Are you serious?
What happened here? All right, let's take that again. We'll edit this off.
We've got 3 minutes. Let's just go with it.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I did about 8 things wrong in the space of about 3 seconds.
Are you drunk?
I'm going to be.
Let's take a look at a couple new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Next Day Air is a comedy starring Most Def, Mike Epps, Donald Faison. It's a comedy about a black delivery service. When a delivery man, Donald Faison, leaves a package containing bricks of cocaine at the wrong address.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sets into motion a wacky series of hilarious hijinks. Listen, I am all behind any black comedy that doesn't have the words Tyler or Perry in the title. So I wish them the best of luck this weekend. However, they may be eclipsed by another film. But first, let's take a look at Next Day Air. Here's a clip featuring Donald Faison, who is begging his mother in this particular scene, who runs the Next Day Air delivery service, not to fire him.
We'll never hear a negative thing about me ever, ever, ever again, Mom. Please, I need this job.
Yeah, and I need it too, but you making me look bad.
Please, Mom, I'm your son. Mommy.
One more time, you hear me?
No more times. How about that?
If I get one call about you, you are fired.
You know, I think that's fair, Mommy.
Don't mommy me.
Don't mommy me.
Okay. I like Donald Faison very much.
I do too. Very funny. Of course, you know him from Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And Most Def, funny guy, Mike Epps. So this is kind of like a black Pineapple Express, I get the sense. So please enjoy this weekend. Okay. However, most of you, I'm assuming, will be going to see a little movie called Star Trek.
Very exciting.
It is the reimagining of the classic tales of the Starship Enterprise with its entire crew, Captain James T. Kirk, Mr. Spock, Mr. Scott, Bones McCoy, the Doctor, Sulu, Chekhov, Uhura, they're all back. And here's the thing about this film, which I got a chance to see at the premiere last week. It is a remarkable piece of work because what it does is maintain everything all the original fans of Star Trek loved about that TV series and consequent movie series. And yet also opens it up and reinvents it for a whole brand new generation of people. It has its cake and eats it, too.
That seems impossible.
You would think so, but screenwriters Orson Kurzman did an amazing job of balancing everything we loved about the old Star Trek and bringing us an opportunity to work on a brand new canvas. They really sort of reinvent everything you know about Star Trek, but at the same time, treating the original stuff with a certain amount of respect and reverence as well. So, well done on their part. The cast is top-notch. Chris Pine, of course, as the new Captain James T. Kirk. Zachary Quinto as Spock. The guy who really stole the movie for me, though, was an actor named Carl Urban, who you may or may not know from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He was in the second and third
one.
I can't remember the character's name right now. Anyway, he's a New Zealand actor who really captures the spirit of DeForest Kelly as Bones McCoy remarkably. He's not doing an impression, yet he really embodies that same character the same way he did, and it's great to see that up on the big screen. Everyone else has pretty much their own take on the characters, which are all completely serviceable. Even pretty boy Chris Pine pulls off Captain Kirk with a certain amount of plum and humor. Here is a scene from the movie where Captain Pike, the first captain of the Enterprise, played by Bruce Greenwood in this film, is having a heart-to-heart talk with the young, rebellious James T. Kirk about maybe joining the Starfleet.
Enlist in Starfleet.
Enlist?
You guys must be way down in your recruiting quota for the month. Well, if you're half the man your father was, Jim, Starfleet could use you. You understand what the Federation is, don't you? It's important. It's a peacekeeping and humanitarian armada.
We done?
I'm done. Riverside Shipyard. Shuttle for new recruits leaves tomorrow, 0800. Your father was captain of a starship for 12 minutes. He saved 800 lives. Including your mother's and yours. I dare you to do better.
I wonder if James Kirk will join Starfleet.
Seems like the bar is set a little high. Your dad was a Starfleet commander for 12 minutes, saved 800 lives.
Well, now, what are you going to do?
I might try and join, but I certainly can't promise anything.
This movie, besides being a worthy successor to the Star Trek franchise, is also, in and of its own right, a remarkably well-done action-adventure film. The script is outstanding, the special effects are brilliant, but they service the story as to not overwhelm it with a lot of special effects, mumbo-jumbo, and CGI stuff.
What if you don't like sci-fi?
It's a great action-adventure film. It, you don't have, it doesn't bog itself down in a lot of sort of esoteric, sci-fi, Matrix-y kind of mind games. It's just a big, rousing action-adventure movie, like a Die Hard or something like that, only it takes place on a spaceship. And I'll tell you...
Let's ask the girl, by the way. She's the perfect audience for, you know, non-sci-fi fan who went to see this movie. What'd you think, Lisa?
Well,
what'd you
think, girl? I did like the original Star Trek, actually, but I love this movie. I thought it was great. It had a great sense of humor, and you're right about the guy that plays Bones.
Great,
steals
isn't
the show.
Brilliant.
He was awesome. But yeah. I have nothing but good things to say about it. Loved it.
J.J. Abrams has pulled off a miracle here. Yeah. It is one of the best movies I've seen all year long. So on top of being a summer blockbuster, it's actually an excellent film. Very rarely do those two things cross paths. So I highly recommend Star Trek this weekend. Check it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Moms that have been naked and their daughters, too. We'll talk to our friend Mr. Skin coming up in about 30 minutes. That's what it, really, that's the direction you want to go when you're thinking about Mother's Day.
Sure.
How many moms can you see naked on the big screen, right?
Sure.
So that's on the way. Also, your chance to win your tickets for the K-Rock Reno Roast E-Fiesta 2009 this hour. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam Carolla.
Get it on.
Hey, Ace Man.
I haven't heard
read about
Get It On in a long time.
Yeah. Oh, Ace is bringing it back. He's bringing back Get It On.
I like yeah. it. Let me just say something.
Yes.
Get It On is good because it gives, you know, it's a subtle message to the ladies that it's time to get it on.
Sure.
And
it's pretty subtle.
I was thinking Get It On was also around the greatest era for getting laid is mid-Coke.
Right.
Pre-AIDS.
Yes.
That's what you wanted. I wasn't really getting laid during that time, but mid-Coke, when Coke was good for you, it was plentiful, it was no big deal, and before AIDS.
Right.
So mid-Coke,
okay.
Pre-AIDS, that's the era you're looking for, and that's when you could just say to a chick, hey, you're not uptight, are you? And she'd go, no. And then you'd go, get it on. Want some Coke?
When you get around to writing your autobiography, I hope that you will remember mid-Coke pre-AIDS as a title. Because
yes.
That sounds like it's got everything.
It's at least
like
a chapter.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had David Alan Greer on the show,
mm-hmm.
who
misses you very much, by the way. In fact, he only does our show because yours is no longer on the air.
First of all, that's correct. But second of all, he was telling us stories about you and Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
And he made it sound like you helped talk him into it, and it was a very, very, very important thing in your life. Here's what he had to say.
Okay.
Adam Carolla got weepy. Got
Is
weepy.
That right?
Yeah. Like, I thought he was kidding. He's like, let me tell you something, man. When you're on stage, but do your paso doble. And you see the whole family out there, and America's cheering you on. And you take that little piece of sweetness on your right arm, and you go out and you give your heart and soul to America.
I was like, are you kidding
me? We're
going
to need that clip for when Adam comes in tomorrow, so we can ask him about that.
It's true.
All right, there you go. That's what he had to say.
Yeah. Is he exaggerating, Adam?
Of course. The man is a sociopath. No, I told him he'd have a rush, and he'd have fun out there and all that kind of crap. And as a matter of fact, I enjoyed the experience just because it was scary.
He said you teared up a little.
Are you
a
high?
Little.
Is he high?
Maybe.
Is everyone high but me? No.
Just asking.
No,
okay,
no.
Okay, you
no,
didn't tear
I,
up.
I told him, I do have a story that might involve some tears from Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if I told you guys, but the first night, everyone was just a bundle of nerves.
Right.
Like, you really, you didn't know what would happen.
Well, you're way out of your realm.
Way.
Right.
But also,
yeah, you can't feel qualified to dance on television in front of one of the biggest audiences in the nation on the program, right?
I don't feel qualified to dance at a bar mitzvah or a wedding. I couldn't imagine doing it in front of 20 million people.
Right.
And the only dancing experience I'd ever had before that was making fun of other guys dancing
at
weddings. Look at me, I'm drunk white guy who thinks he's hip with the big pit stains. That was my only dancing experience. So everyone is just a bundle of nerves, and you're out there and you're thinking the music's going to start. And my feet are just going to draw a blank. Like, I don't even know. I could just seize up completely, yeah, like a computer that just freezes.
Right.
So I went out there and I did it. Mm-hmm. And I got off stage and it was fine. And
were you crying then?
No.
All right.
I was crying 4 weeks later when they tossed me off. And I was out there and Marissa, Jarrett, Winona Walker, whatever her name is, was back there. The little short chubby chick from the Broadway or whatever she was from.
Hairspray.
She was a bundle of nerves. Okay. She was just, I could see her going out of her mind.
And she's
just
danced before too.
I know, but she was taking the competition really seriously and she's just really just a bundle of nerves. And so people give you this stupid advice where they go, have fun out there. And it's like, I'm going to punch your ass. Have fun. I'm not going to have fun. And by the way, that's like a doctor, you know, saying, oh, geez, you have cancer or torn ligaments. Have fun out there. That doesn't do anyone any good. That's not constructive. So I, you know, she was a bundle of nerves. People are telling her to have fun, and clearly she wasn't listening. And I pulled her aside, and I thought I had some sagely advice for her that was really going to make this moment a memory and smooth over all the rough edges, which I said, look, you're not going to have fun out there. You're nervous. I understand it. Drink it in. Experience it. It's a crazy rush. You'll never have this experience again. Don't numb yourself to it and just go, it's no big deal, or I'm just going to have fun out there. Embrace it. I said, it's like childbirth. It's painful. It's scary, but it's one of the most important moments of your life. You don't want to be passed out or numbed up and not experience the beauty of childbirth. And she said, I had ovarian cancer, and I had my ovaries removed.
So your pep talk.
And currently, we have a surrogate who's pregnant right now that we found, and she's doing about 3 months. So anyway, and Penn Jillette was laughing his ass off like an 8-foot madman. You know, the guy is like, he's like one of those lumberjacks that would be out front of the tire store that you grew up, you know, big fiberglass guy. He's like 9 foot tall. He's an atheist and he's laughing like a madman. And I think they're putting me on. I think they're screwing with me.
Oh, you think she was just saying that to make you feel bad?
Yes, so I keep saying, no, really, are you sterile? Did you have your parts removed? Like, do you have any fallopian tubing left? And she's like, no, I'm barren. I'm like an ashtray down there.
Did you say, let's get it on?
I was like, get it on. Let's do some blow. That'll take the edge off. I thought the whole childbirth thing was a great analogy for experiencing it. And she just told me, I cannot have children.
That's a swing and a miss.
And then she went out.
Adam Carolla got weepy.
Adam Carolla got weepy. All right, Adam, you're doing the charity thing.
Yes, I am.
It is the Shakespeare kegger.
Yeah, it's Shakespeare. Yes.
See?
I like it.
Not Shakespeare, but Shakespeare.
Interesting combination.
And it's to support the programs of the Shakespeare Center of Los Angeles.
Yes.
Very cool.
Which I'm an instructor at, of course.
Helps inner city kids learn Shakespeare. My wife's into it. I don't give a crap.
I was wondering, since when do you care about inner city kids? I was confused by that.
A lot of guys for the role of Othello, I'm guessing. But we need one King Lear. Can we get one King Lear in here? No? Nothing. All right, so that goes on in my Malibu home. We're opening it up. Kevin, you've been invited. Bean, I know you're going to be in sheep dung.
That's correct. Right. A very busy schedule. But I don't even know what it is.
Jay Leno is going to be hosting. I'll be there. Some other comedians will be there. It'll be a good time.
All right. And you can go to adamcarolla.com if you'd like to buy tickets for that. They are $150 or $300 for the charity.
Okay.
So. Yeah. And that's a week from Saturday, I think.
All right. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Adam Carolla is here. This Week in Rage is coming up next.
Here, our friend Adam Carolla is with us. We'll get to the Week in Rage in just a moment. First, a bit of K-Rock business we have to take care of. We need to call this texter. We kicked off a brand new contest that's going to be running all weekend long here on K-Rock, where we not only give you a chance to call in and win your tickets for the Weenie Roast, but you get to text, too. And we got the 1,000 texts in like 1 minute, but the 1,000th texter is the one who won the pit tickets, and that's who we're calling.
Again, thanks. Have a good day.
You too.
Awesome radio.
Isn't it? Hey, okay. Congratulations. You're in the pit. Way to go. Kevin and
Does she have a name or anything? Do we know what the...
Sure don't know. I guess, have right? a phone number. Okay. We were told... Here's what we were told, Adam. We were told,
They're told to leave their phone on. Someone will be calling them immediately. So call them and put them on the air. And we're like, okay. So that's the information we have.
And
beautiful. So great.
So how does it make you feel, Adam, knowing that this show is still on the air and yours isn't? When that's what passes for quality on this.
It's kind of sad, right?
All right. 8:26, time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
I'm going to stand up because I'm angry this morning.
Wow, you're really angry.
First, breaking news, the Manny Ramirez suspension. You know, I was thinking about it. I've complained about baseball for many, many years and about the season being too long.
Right.
We're 30 games into this season. 30 games.
Right.
3-0. Two football seasons worth of games already been played this year. Manny Ramirez has been suspended for 50 goddamn games, right. And when he comes back, we won't be at the halfway point yet.
Is that
really?
True?
We'll not be at the halfway point before Manny and his dreads come back. Is that insane? And by the way,
it's a long season.
Here's how you know baseball isn't really a sport. When you cut to the sideline of a basketball game or a football game, like when they go to the sideline of a football game, they're looking at pictures from the booth. They're drinking Gatorade. A guy's holding oxygen. When they go to basketball, the guy's looking at the clipboard and the other guys are warming up. When you go to baseball, they're having a competition to see who can make a pyramid of sunflower seeds. And one guy's got his rally hat on and the other guy's putting shaving cream in the other guy's hand who's napping. Just look at the bench. And by the way, it's a sport where you bring food to play. They actually eat on the thing. Really? You couldn't go 3 hours without eating? We got to spread out a buffet for you? And speaking of eating, you know, this NPR, she's a reporter, I think. She was over in Iran. She got held up over there, and they took her in, and she went on a hunger strike.
Yes.
And I thought a lot of people go on hunger strikes. They get, you know, imprisoned falsely, or they do the Gandhi thing, or they're in Iran, and they do a hunger strike. But think about the hunger strike when you're in an Iranian prison. What are you really missing out on? A little gruel with a cockroach in it, some lamb-based bouillon, and some water that someone shot a snot rocket into? I mean, okay, you're on a hunger strike in a place that serves S on a shingle. I want to see you go down to Binion's or go down to Caesar's, go down to that buffet, or better yet, go to the Todai, the all-you-can-eat sushi place. Go on your hunger strike there. That's a message. That's what I'm listening. You going on a hunger strike in a place where you don't want to eat the food is nothing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty safe.
Well, it's not. Imagine the food. The food in our prison system is horrible, right?
Right.
Now go to Iran and picture what they're serving up for lunch over there.
Yeah.
All right. Cry me a river.
All right.
She's eating again, by the way.
Is she?
Right. Yes. Also, I want to talk about the bouncy castles. I went to another party where my kids were in that bouncy castle.
Right.
Every single party I've been to for the kids in the last 2 years, a huge inflatable bouncy castle. First off, where were these things when we were kids?
Didn't have them.
I don't think they did.
What?
Didn't have them.
What?
Didn't have them.
We had dirigibles in World War I.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, right. The idea of pumping air into a space, we understood. They didn't have burlap and fans in the 70s. Like, where was our goddamn bouncy castle? And my kids now are used to, like, if I take them anywhere I take them, it's like, all right, where's the bouncy castle? So they're all officially ruined. Like, my kid's going to show up for his first day at work when he's 30 years old. He's going to take his shoes off and go, hey, why am I not in the air? What's going on? This floor feels solid. What's up? I'm not bouncing. I'm not an inflatable castle. I just saying, maybe we don't need one of these at every goddamn kid's party. It is ruining, and life is going to be one huge disappointment. No inflatable, bouncy anything.
Yeah.
All right. Energy drinks.
You love them?
I hate energy drinks for two reasons. A, it turbocharges a-holes. The guys who drink the most energy drinks are the biggest a-holes, and now you've just put them on steroids. So you were a 7 in the a-hole department, but now you're an 11 because you're beaked up on Rockstar. Number one. Number two, it's ironic that teenagers drink energy drinks, but old people don't drink energy drinks. 65-year-olds don't walk around with a Red Bull or a Nas in their hand.
No, you're right.
But 15-year-olds do. And listen, when you're 15, if you can't get it up at 15, kill yourself. Like, if you're 15 and the sun is shining and someone is saying, hey, you want to go out and throw the frisbee? And you're like, I don't know, man.
one of the NFC.
I ain't feeling it. I'm pretty worn out from the bouncy castle. Let me drink some of this rock star and see if I can motivate. Aren't you just supposed to be a big ball of energy at 15?
Pretty
Where
much,
do
yeah.
you go from there? You know what I mean? Here's the deal. Let's give the 15-year-olds the insure and give the old folks the rock star and get them moving.
I like it.
Great
All
idea.
Right. And last but not least, stickers.
Stickers.
What kind of stickers?
I was driving down Ventura Boulevard the other day, and they did this fireman thing where they have the boot, and you stuff the $5 into the boot, and when I stuffed the $5 into the boot at the signal, the guy gave me a big sticker I could put on my shirt. I just gave to diabetes, whatever, and I thought, I'm not putting this sticker on, and then I realized, how about all those a-holes who have the, I just voted. Oh,
Why
look at me. I took part in the democratic process, and now I have a sticker. Look at me. Me and 100 million people voted today. I voted. Look at me. I'm better than you. And then his close cousin, the a-hole, I gave blood. Look at me. I have a sticker. And I just thought, do we need a sticker for everything all the time? And where's this leading to? Like, my kid's going to be walking around with a sticker that said, I made a solid BM.
In a perfect world.
Really? Does everyone need a sticker for everything? Give blood. Fine. Vote. Fine. Donate to charity. Fine, but you're going to be covered. You're going to look like a NASCAR. Covered in stickers. And this is just that BS participation trophy thing that everyone, look at me, look how great I am. F you people, take those stickers off. And by the way, we should give a sticker to people who don't vote. Shame them. Give stickers to people who don't. They'd probably pull them off their cardigan, I would imagine. But I'm just saying, the next time you see a guy with a sticker of anything he did, just run up and kick him in the nuts. And don't get me started about the stickers on the fruit. Because I started screaming about the stickers on the pears and the stickers on the tomatoes. I've been screaming about that for 10 years. And now there's stickers everywhere on everything. And there's multiple stickers. Now the tomato has 5 stickers on it. You have to skin the goddamn thing in order to eat it. You know what's going to happen to me one day? I'm just going to be in the hospital. It's going to be 20 years from now, and I'm going to be, God, my belly's hurting, Doc. And they're going to surgically remove a 9-pound ball of ripe stickers with the Mexican lady who checked them on the produce counter.
She's
out
in
of
your
my
stomach,
belly.
Too?
Sure. Her code number is. I like that. Oh, your underpants were checked by number 442742. What am I supposed to do? I love her work. I love her. That chick over at Hanes, I'm writing her a thank you letter right now. Or what else? I don't like the way these underpants fit. I'm going to settle her head. I'm going to walk into the Hanes factory and go, where's Inspector 442-79? I got a bone to pick with you, Missy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla will likely die of a brain aneurysm. You can check him out at adamcarolla.com. I think we gave you misinformation on Adam's charity event at his Malibu home with Jay Leno and more. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow on the 23rd.
Right.
And you should definitely go to adamcarolla.com to check it out. Buy your tickets. Download his podcast. They're very funny. Lots of great guest stars. And Adam will be back on K-Rock next week, all week, with his old friend Dr. Drew on Loveline, starting Sunday night at 10 o'clock.
Good times.
Adam, great to see you, man. Thanks for coming
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, Bean.
Glad we saved Adam Carolla for the very end of the week, because, frankly, I'm too exhausted to go on after he leaves.
Yeah.
I'm worn out just listening to him.
Oh, my God. His wife. I wonder about that.
I need an energy drink.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, it's 8:41. Very interesting list to tell you about right now from our friend Mr. Skin. He is back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, of course, MrSkin.com. How are you, Mr. Skin? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kevin and Bean. I appreciate it.
Usually, we're excited to see a pitch from you. We're always in. We like your stuff. But this time, it's about Mother's Day.
Yes. And you know, here's the deal with this list. I was trying to come up with a cool promo for MrSkin.com for Mother's Day, and you know, I was like, you know, I could do a top 10 MILFs or I could do a top 10 TV moms, but, you know, anyone could do that. I wasn't, like, I didn't feel challenged, but I said to myself, all right, I'll do a top 10 naked moms, but if I'm going to do it, they have to have had daughters that have also been naked in a TV show or a movie, and the list is the top 10 naked moms and their naked daughters.
Okay. Interesting, because when we heard that this was going to be list, you know, Ralph, who's our showbiz savant, he started putting the thinking cap on, and it was hard to come up with more than a couple that came immediately to mind. You must have really had to do the research.
Yeah, we did. It was fun, and that's why I said it was a challenge, but I rose to the challenge, if you will, and I'm pretty proud of the list, and every one of these, there's 10. 9 out of 10 is the mother and daughter. I threw one in that was a fun TV mom and daughter. In other words, they play them on TV, but the nudity's so great I had to put it in.
Okay. Okay. Right. Who are your favorites on the list, Mr. Skin?
Well, like an example, I'm a big fan of Nastasha Kinski. Like, remember, if you're watching cable TV in the 80s or the 90s or something, she was naked in a bunch of films. And Cat People's one that I really dug. Her daughter, Sonia Kinski, looks exactly like her. And now, Nastasha Kinski was naked 22 times in her career, which is amazing.
All right.
She has Sonia has a movie called All God's Children Could Dance, which came out last year, in which she's naked in. I'm hoping she does 21 more films to catch up to her mom, but Nastasha and Sonia Kinski is my one of the names on the list that was pretty fun.
This is what's great about Mr. Skin, by the way. You've never heard of this actress, but if you're right on the site, you could see the naked parts of the movie that she did that you never heard of. That's the beauty of Mr. Skin.
Well, here's one that'll make you guys feel a little old. Lisa Bonet is the mom in this situation because she did a
she was a daughter on the Cosby Show, right?
Yeah, she played Denise Huxtable on the Cosby Show and did a movie in the 80s called Angel Heart with Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro. The nudity was so good she got kind of switched to her own sitcom called A Different World. Bill Cosby didn't want to affect the family values of that show, but
he thought she was a bad skinfluence.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, Lisa Bonet was married to Lenny Kravitz, and even though they were divorced a long time ago, they have a daughter named Zoe Kravitz, and I had my skin scouts at a film fest last fall, and they saw a movie called Birds of America, and believe it or not, Zoe Kravitz's character had a nude scene in the movie. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, Lisa Bonet is the mom in this list of top naked moms and naked daughters, and Zoe Kravitz is the daughter, which is pretty incredible.
And how old is she?
Like 19 or
19.
20.
All right,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. So, and another one that's fun on the list. Everyone knows Drew Barrymore, A-list actress, naked in a bunch of movies. My favorite is Doppelganger at the 23-minute mark, a great horror shower scene. But a lot of people don't know about her mom, Jade Barrymore. She's a little wacky, kind of a B-list actress, probably.
Yeah, I remember she used to be in the news a lot because she and her daughter had a feud that went on for a number of years, right?
Yes. And it was interesting is in September of 95, Jade Barrymore posed in Playboy, which was 8 months after Drew Barrymore posed in Playboy, so it was kind of weird, like a mother-daughter
wow.
same year. But Jade Barrymore did a movie called Last Days of Disco, in which she was topless and also was standing completely naked in a crowded nightclub. And I have to tell you, Jade Barrymore's hot. She may be a little out there, but she's definitely hot. So Jade Barrymore and Drew Barrymore are on the list.
Out there, by the way, is good for out there means crazy.
If you have great breasts, it doesn't really matter if you're out there.
Right, exactly.
We are, if you're just joining us, we're on the phone with our friend Mr. Skin, who's done a tremendous amount of research, a very skin-intensive research, to come up with this list just in time for Mother's Day. And I think we got time for a couple more, Mr. Skin.
Yeah, cool. Well, another fun one on the list is Jane Mansfield. She was, kind of like compared to Marilyn Monroe. She's from the same era. She didn't get the same parts or was as famous, of course, as Marilyn Monroe. But she did a groundbreaking movie, and groundbreaking because Promises, Promises in 1963 was the first movie, American movie, that had an American star and had nudity in it, and that's why it's a big movie in my world. But she looked great. I mean, it was in black and white, but the nudity holds up great. A lot of people don't know Jane Mansfield's daughter is Mariska Hargitay, who's a big star on Law & Order Special Victims.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, she played Olivia Benson on that show, and she did a movie called Welcome to 18 in the 80s where her character was naked in the shower, but we were not fooled. It was an obvious body double, though. On April 24th of 2003, the guys in the Mr. Skin Labs found an incredible nip slip on the Conan O'Brien show where she was being interviewed, and the censors missed it, but the Skin team did not, and we're very proud of that nip slip, Mariska Hargitay on Conan. Yeah.
Nicely done.
This man for a living is posting nip slip pictures from the Conan show. That's what he's doing.
Can I tell you, no woman is safe from him?
That's correct.
As you can imagine, my mom this Mother's Day is very proud of me.
Yes,
oh, sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Your mom's been proud of you for a long time, I'm sure.
Another fun one on the list, proper, very sophisticated, but beautiful women. You guys know in Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers, the Blythe Danner plays Robert De Niro's wife.
Yes.
She was also the wife in The Great Santini. Well, back in the 70s, she did some good nudity, especially in a movie called To Kill a Clown with Alan Alda, complete nudity in that. Now, Her daughter with Bruce Paltrow is Gwyneth Paltrow, who won an Academy Award for Shakespeare in Love. She's a great actress, beautiful, was naked in that. But Blythe Danner and Gwyneth Paltrow are a nice mother-daughter, both have the naked team on the list here.
Wow. That's beautiful. Hey, Mr. Skin, if your mom were to be an actress and appear naked in a movie, would you put her on your own site?
You know, it'd be very hypocritical of me not to, but boy, I'm so glad that my mom's from the era where they didn't have nudity in film. So
yeah, that's probably
you
a good thing.
You can see the complete list of the top 10 famous mothers and daughters and screen captures of all of them on MrSkin.com. And, of course, as we've mentioned so many times before, see the clips of all your favorite actresses, whatever they were in, whenever they were in, whether they knew they were being photographed naked or not. You can see it up on the site at MrSkin.com. Have a great Mother's Day weekend. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Skin.
Thanks, Kevin and Bean. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, 8:50. For now, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do have tickets to give away to the special K-Rock advanced screening of Angels and Demons. The sequel, of course, to the wildly popular The Da Vinci Code, starring Tom Hanks, once again directed by Ron Howard. It's a special K-Rock advanced screening at the Sony Pictures lot on May the 13th. You get to see the movie before anybody else does. If you'd like to go, I've got a trivia question for you. If you're the one of the first five people through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067. You'll get a pair of tickets to see this very special advanced screening. Here's your trivia question. This is the fourth time that Tom Hanks and Ron Howard have worked together as an actor and director. However, Tom Hanks is a fine director in his own right. He's done a bunch of television directing. He directed an episode of Band of Brothers, which he produced, From the Earth to the Moon, which he also produced, League of Their Own, a TV series he directed, Tales from the Crypt. But he only directed one motion picture. What is the name of the movie that Tom Hanks directed? If you know the answer, call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers with the right answer get a pair of tickets. Oh, our buddy Bob Saget having a rough day. ABC apparently has pulled his TV series Surviving Suburbia.
F*** that guy. What would he need him
come
for?
Come on. It's Bob.
Stop it.
It's Bob, yes. It's our buddy, the SAG.
Hey, do we go with Bobby?
He's a SAG.
Oh, no, he's not SAG. I said the SAG.
Sorry. SAG.
ABC has pulled his show from their Monday night lineup, so, they say they will show the remaining episodes sometime during the summer. However, he will not be in the primetime lineup before the TV show Castle, where he previously was, so.
I'm sad.
It's official today also that NBC has canceled Life, one of my favorite shows.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, they have confirmed that news. It has been canceled, so we will not see
sad.
What happens to
that was good.
To Damian Lewis's character and see, you know, who framed him for the murder of those people. We'll never know now. Nice work, NBC. Good work. Nice work. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. We have Wendy in Long Beach.
Wendy?
Hello.
What was the name of the movie that Tom Hanks directed?
That Thing You Do.
That's right. He wrote and directed that film. One of my favorite movies.
Great movie.
And speaking of which, we're having one of its stars, Steve Zahn, will be in studio next week sometime talking about his new movie Management. So we got that going for us. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, but you're going to see Angels and Demons.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Love that movie. Speaking of Castle, as I was just moments ago, Nathan Fillion is the name of the star of that show. Have you seen that yet? Castle, he plays a novelist who works alongside a police detective, and he solve crimes together.
Nope.
Kind of like a moonlighting kind of feel. It is pretty good. But the reason I bring it up is that Nathan Fillion has come in number one in a Blockbuster.com poll of sci-fi fans asking, you know, this weekend with the big Star Trek release, about who is their favorite starship captain.
Okay.
Nathan Fillion.
Really?
What? Took the number one slot for his role in Firefly as Captain Malcolm Reynolds.
I loved him in that. I know that's who that was.
He's the number one spaceship
guy.
Captain.
What would he need him for?
In this poll. Captain Kirk comes in number two.
That seems way bogus.
That's a rub.
Jean-Luc Picard was number three. Han Solo, captain of the Millennium Falcon, of course, was number four. And William Adama, captain of the Battlestar Galactica, came in at number five.
That's boy BS.
Firefly.
Well, he's kind of angry.
That was a good movie, though.
Yeah.
Favorite sci-fi villain in the same poll? Darth Vader came in.
Has to be Darth Vader. Yeah. Has to be.
Then Agent Smith from the Matrix movies.
Mm-hmm.
The Borg from Star Trek.
Okay.
The Reavers from Firefly.
The Reavers?
Reavers.
Oh. Reavers.
And Battlestar Galactica, the Cylons, of course. Sci-fi hunks.
Ooh.
Doctor Who is number one.
What?
Doctor Who? I'm sorry.
Han Solo is number two. Neo from The Matrix 3. Leah Dama from Battlestar Galactica. Of course, he was Apollo. And Fox Mulder for The X-Files came in at number five. And favorite sci-fi babes.
There we go.
Seven of nine from Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Jerry Ryan.
Yeah.
Leilu from The Fifth Element.
Okay.
Yeah.
Been a while.
She was,
Milia Jovovich.
Yeah.
Dressed up in like ace bandages, looking smoking
hot.
She
was awesome in that.
Princess Leia in The Return of the Jedi, of course, in that slave girl outfit.
Sure.
Caprica 6 from Battlestar Galactica came in at number 4.
Sure.
And Kate from Lost came in at number 5. So there's your.
All right.
Here's your update or your sci-fi fans. That I finally watched Lost last night.
Before. Yeah, right?
Great episode.
No idea what's going on.
What do you mean?
I couldn't be more lost.
What about Kate versus Sawyer, by the way? What about that? How crazy is that? Yeah. Or, excuse me, Kate versus Jack. Kate versus Jack. What do you think about them?
She's fed up with Jack's shenanigans. No more
now she's trying to sabotage what Jack's tried to do, which you never thought would happen.
Well, she doesn't want a hydrogen bomb blowing up the entire island.
Where's that?
What are you going to do?
Might want to stop that plan if you were going to be on the island. But now she's on the sub, she doesn't have to worry about it. She's on the sub, she's leaving the island anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's good. But I start to get the sense, Ralph, and tell me if I'm just projecting this, that they're starting to answer questions and starting to head toward an actual resolution at the end of next season.
That's only because it's the end of the season. Towards the end of every season, all of a sudden the answers start coming fast and furious, and they open up a brand new list of questions in the season finale for the beginning of the following season. So this week we got a couple answers, and then the two-hour finale is next week. I'm sure we'll get a bunch of facts then, and then we'll get a whole new slew of things we got to think about.
Sure.
I'm telling you, that's how they get you, man. But still, I love it. Today's celebrity birthday is Enrique Iglesias. He is 34 years old today, son, of course, of Julio Iglesias, another famous Latin singer. David Roundtree of Blur is 45. Melissa Gilbert turns 45 as well. Alex Van Halen. The drummer for Van Halen. Axel Van Halen never joined the band. He was the one Van Halen brother who they didn't include.
He's not musically talented.
He's a painter.
He is. He's a painter. He's 56. Don Rickles, one of my comedy heroes, is 83 years old today. Still sharp as a tack. Saw him in Vegas last year. Made me laugh hard. Good man. Nice guy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Tonight on Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, that is, on NBC4 at 12:30 a.m. Speaking of Star Trek, the Spocks will be there in concert. That's right. Zachary Quinto and Leonard Nimoy will both be spending time with Jimmy Fallon. It'll be momentous television. Don't miss it, especially if you're a Star Trek fan. It is on 12:30 a.m. follows the Jay Leno show, the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and you can only see it on NBC4.
All right. Thank you for joining us today. Have a great weekend. We'll see you this afternoon at 5.
Okay.
And then again Monday with more tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, E-Fiesta.
E-Fiesta.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Courage. What was that?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Stand up.
Roll another one.
Mohinder?
Just like the other one.
Yeah, Eric.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yeah.
And I need another hit.
Looks like our pal Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Zero. It's the new one from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Also, Green Day, Nirvana, Rise Against, and Incubus on the way from K-Rock.
Roll another one.
Missed something.
Just like the other one.
You having a laugh?
This one seems to be about to end.
What?
I don't have another sense.
She was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap. Getting up.
So, what was that?
Just pass it around.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Holla.
But just pass it on down.
on, man. Oh, heck. You guys better go. You'll be late for your gig.
This has been based on a true story. The motherfucking end.
I think they are going. I can't believe it's over already. That's not fair.
Excuse me. If you can hear me, that, okay, I see security is coming, so I just want to say, damn it. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you for your time, and drive safe.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday party.
All right, all of us have different beliefs in whether there is a God or not. Mm-hmm. I think Bean is not convinced
I'm
that there is.
I'm skeptical, okay. Yes.
I believe that there is, but yeah. I think we all agree that God is not showing up in sausage, in salami or whatever.
I hope not.
In a tree bark. He's not in a toilet.
You can't pretend to understand God, Kevin. That's one of the central tenets of the Bible, is that God works in mysterious ways, and we humans are not able to comprehend his ways. So let's see what the story all is, right. and understand that it could be God just working mysteriously.
Kevin and Bean Page of KRock.com Internet Roundup. You have a woman who claims that she was cooking salami to eat, and yeah. when she flipped it over, there was a giant G burned into the bottom of it. So then she flipped over another one. There was a giant O. What do you think?
Oh, please let the next one also be an O. Please let the next one also be an O. Yes.
It's very O-ish. It's much more an O than D, by the way. So it's really more the salami of goo, but she says.
Oh, my God.
She says.
Miss me.
No, G.
No, G. Jevis. Absolutely.
We don't have time.
So she thinks it's not only the letters G-O-D, but somehow it's a correct. Sign from above, right?
There it is.
Wow.
All right. So this reporter who's going to take his life goes over to her house, and she shows him. And it's three pretty, you know, maybe two-inch circles yeah. of salami with a giant G burned very, very clearly into it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's so you have to see this video, folks, because you couldn't make a clearer, more perfectly formed alphabet letter G if you tried.
Right, right.
There's no way this accidentally happened in her frying pan.
Right. And you have to see it, too, because the third letter is an O. It is not a D.
But, yeah, it's goo.
So anyway, they start. The reporter asks her some more questions.
We saw the letters G-O-D on three slices of fried salami.
This is the first time we're looking at it, and you definitely can make out the letters, but
absolutely.
It's almost too perfect.
I had only three pieces in my skillet, and as I was flipping it, the first letter was a G. It was a perfect G, and then I got the O, and then I thought to myself quickly, how cool would that be if the third letter was a D?
See, that's the difference between her and us, is that we all thought, how cool would it be if that third letter was an O?
Right, exactly.
And it was.
So you realize people could think you're making this up.
Well, I can't make it up. You'll see it. It's there.
Okay. All right. You can't
There's
make it
no
up.
There's no way to burn a G.
Right. Of course, it's there. Doesn't mean you didn't make it up. Doesn't right. mean you didn't figure out a way to burn it into it, for God's sake.
You see it. It's burn marks.
Nancy immediately called her friends.
I totally believe her. 100%.
What about you?
Oh, me too. 100%.
Yeah, what a surprise that she's got friends over going, oh, absolutely. She's right on.
Look, this reporter has got to be thinking, if there were a God, I wouldn't be covering this story.
That's correct.
Don't think she's lying.
No, I don't know.
Don't think she's crazy.
No, I don't.
You just think this just happened.
For 20 years, this South Florida family has fried salami as a breakfast meat.
We ended up all liking it, and we just do it. And nothing, no words come out of it, no letters, no circles, no anything. It's just fried salami.
But whether this is a wake-up call remains to be seen.
I think we can rule on this one. I'm going to say no wake-up call.
I'm also going to add that looking at her and her family, they're not lying about having fried salami for breakfast every morning for 20 years.
They need to cut down on some of the salami.
Yeah. Maybe that's
Are you a religious person, Nancy?
I'm Catholic. I believe in God, but I don't practice it. I don't go to church all the time. On occasion, I do. But
if it is God, what does he have to do to get your attention? Doesn't she say, I didn't used to be practicing, but now that he spoke to me in my salami,
I go to Mass every day.
Right.
I would think so. Otherwise, you think you're turning your back on the Heavenly Father and you're just going to get smited or something.
God's in heaven going, I showed up in her salami. And she's not going to church. What do I have to do?
I do believe. Yes, I do believe there's something out there.
But at least for now, it may be a little less out there and more in here.
Ah, being great enough.
I'm the reporter. And zero back in on the salami.
So now with this message, the hardest part for Nancy is going to be what you said?
How to preserve it. What do I do with it? Do I keep it in an enclosed case or do I put it in a Ziploc bag?
Or do you eat it?
Nancy, there's always eBay.
All right. There you go. That's the story.
Oh, dear God.
I hope she eats the goo.
106.7.
It's okay. It's okay. Why are they yelling so much?
Yeah.
What are they so angry about?
I don't know. That's,
come on,
he's
guys.
Giving up. He's giving
come
up.
Come on.
That's
let's
what I hear.
All just take a breath.
It's Kevin
very,
Beecho.
Very, very loud.
Yeah, that's true.
Cinco de la tarde.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday afternoon. Ralph, got any big plans for the weekend? What do you got going on?
Oh, I'm going to, golly. Nope, I'm out.
No,
Mother's
not
Day.
So much.
Well,
that's good.
Oh,
hey,
Mother's
there's nothing
Day.
Wrong
that's
with
right.
that. We have to do my wife's mom on Saturday.
What? Oh, you huh? do it.
What?
And then we're servicing my mom on Sunday.
What? Right.
Whoa.
So you
Whoa.
Have a busy weekend.
So it's a full weekend of moms.
Is your mom okay. out here?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, sure. She's within driving distance. She's not in the next room okay. or anything. Yeah, but we're, yeah. We're down in San Diego.
Well,
and my wife's folks are up north in Ventura County.
All right.
So it's just a lot of traveling this weekend.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. It's Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. Rob's got the final look at the Showbiz Beat for a week that just passed. What's going on?
You know, I always say that Sacha Baron Cohen is the bravest comedian working today.
Yes, yes. He is.
After Borat, if you saw that film, you know how bold it was for him to stay in that character, even in the face of potential physical damage for himself, especially when he was dealing with the chocolate faces. And I just thought the way he committed to that role is remarkable and remarkably brave. I feel the same way about Bruno, the character he's doing for his new upcoming film. But I didn't know exactly how brave he was until I read this story about Sasha committing to the fact that he knew that hairlessness is a popular trend in the gay community, so he went to a salon to have his entire body bleached. So that all the hair on his body, even the stuff he couldn't shave, would look invisible because it'd be bleached. He's a fairly swarthy, hairy dude.
Yeah.
Can you bleach
mm-hmm.
your whole arm, legs, everything?
Everything. Huh. He had his body bleached. Unfortunately, there was some irritation
uh-oh.
In the anal region
uh-oh.
That he had bleached.
Uh-oh.
And it got worse. And got worse, and the burning got worse, and eventually
you fucking made for that.
He had to be rushed to the emergency room, where they gave him some medication and some ointments and unguents to counter the severe irritation he had in his genital and anus region.
Wow,
it ain't natural.
That's commitment.
See him in the emergency room trying to yell
is.
Through that bulletproof glass. What he
yeah.
did?
My crack is on flambé due to bleaching. Mike, you went through that, didn't you? Didn't you have your nether regions bleached?
I did. I went to have my whole area, that area bleached at a place famous for doing that to adult stars in the San Fernando Valley.
You had the actual flesh bleached, though, right?
Yeah.
You had the skin bleached.
Yeah.
The best way they describe it is you turn your chocolate donut into a powdered donut.
All right. Okay. Look, now, why do I ask you anything? Because I'm always
saying,
sorry
that's
after
a great
I
question.
Ask.
That, and it looked great. It was you had to keep reapplying the bleach, though, on your own. And they gave you, like, this question mark shaped brush so that you could, like, go back there.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
Noted. Bad question, worse answer.
You were there, Kevin.
Asshole.
How'd it look?
I was there.
There.
I apologize.
Trying to shade my eyes from it.
TV news, ABC, looks like they've scrapped our buddy Bob Saget's new show, Surviving Suburbia. Only a couple episodes in, they've decided to pull Surviving Suburbia and will shelve it at least until this summer. Perhaps indefinitely, so we won't know exactly.
That is usually the sign of great things to come, is that they say,
yeah, we'll burn off your episodes come summertime.
That means 10-year run.
This is what's so frustrating about Hollywood, Ralph, and I know you share this frustration. Bob is a very funny guy, an immensely talented comic actor
yes.
as well. But that is no guarantee. That alone is no guarantee for success on television.
It takes a lot of chefs to make a flambé. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
No, I do.
I'm saying Bob's a funny actor, but the writing, the directing, and the co-stars,
right.
everything has to be right.
Time slot, promotion, everything has to
everything has
favor.
To fall into place for a TV series to succeed. And sadly, looks like Surviving Suburbia did not. Same thing with my life over on NBC. Official news came out today from NBC. They're canceling Life.
Love
life
that.
Life is over.
Damian Lewis.
Life is over.
as we know it.
Sarah Shahi, yeah, who we loved and adored. That's gone. And also, it looks like the Gossip Girl spinoff. Next Monday's episode is the flashback episode that takes us back to the 80s. No doubt will be starring on that show.
Right.
That was meant to be what they call a backdoor pilot.
Yeah. That's what Mike did.
Which is where they show you an episode of a show in a successful existing series as a way to pilot that premise onto its own spinoff.
Grey's Anatomy did that with Private Practice.
Exactly, Lisa.
There you go. And is that not happening? Or is that
looks like
happening.
Now that's not going to happen. Apparently, the CW is falling out of love with the concept, and it may not be spinning off after all.
And that was going to be Brittany Snow playing Kelly Rutherford's character. It looked like it had a lot of things going for it.
Yep, but it looks like it now more than likely will not happen, as opposed to happen.
Well, you're a downer today, Ralph.
Look, I'm just bringing you the hard news. That's what I do.
That is what you
you're
do.
A reporter, man.
I bring you the facts so that you can be more
informed
yes. about entertainment.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Enrique Iglesias is 34. Dave Roundtree of Blur turns 45 years old, as does Melissa Gilbert, who not only was on Little House on the Prairie, but was the president of the Screen Actors Guild for many years.
Oh, that's
45
right.
years old. Alex Van Halen of the band Van Halen, one of the great rock drummers of all time, is 46 years old. Gary Glitter, who at one time was a very popular glam 70s rock star, and then he started little boy.
Wow.
Which caused his career to take a downturn.
Yeah.
Let's just say, we can't say that. Let's just say he took too many trips to Thailand. Let's just say that.
And Don Rickles, who also enjoyed.
What is
wrong
with
you? That's not true. His early career.
That's not true at all.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.